B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, I wish you guys a good morning. And that's kind of where it ends, right? And I think today is not even a day, at least for me, to rant and rave. I think today's a day where you have to look at it in the scope of business. You have to look at the Eagles and look at the state of this franchise with a cold heart business approach. You got to be cold hearted. You got to be pragmatic. You can't let emotion dictate anything. You have to look at the state of this team. You have to look at the roster. You have to look at the coaches. You have to look at this team sans emotion. And I think it's clear. And I'm going to assume that the trajectory is the same throughout the rest of the season. And I'm going to make the assumption, we still got to get there, but I'll make the assumption that it's all over. That, and this is without personal, making it personal, without going all emotional. It's just done. It's done. It needs to be gutted. It's a bad house. It's got too many issues that you fix. You got to gut. You got to go in this thing and you got to get rid of everyone. And you thank them effusively, you know, with effusiveness on the way out. Oh, guys, great. It was great working with you. Man, that Super Bowl, we'll always have it. You know, come 10 years from now or 7 years from now, when we celebrate it again, I'll have you back. We'll have some shrimp cocktail. And we'll toast some champagne about that great night in 2017 or 2018. February 2018. We'll celebrate that great moment. But for now, you got to go. For now, the general manager has to go. The coach has to go. And then you have to bring somebody in here who, I prefer a coach who has all the power, who brings in his team. But you got to hire a CEO. And Jeffrey Lurie has to put his ego aside and stay out of football operations. It's clear he's got too much to say and too much involvement in football operations. And he's got to stay out of it. You gotta let the people that you hire who know the sport run the show. And it's hard. I mean, listen, I get it. I mean, he thinks like I've been doing this forever. And he has. He's owned this team for a long time, and he's been a great owner. And he cares. And I have the utmost respect for Jeffrey Lurie. But he's got to step aside. He's got to yield. You got to hire a CEO. CEO has got to come in. That CEO should be a coach. He then brings in his personnel people, and he hires his own staff. And he's the one. Not all these hats. Nah. You hire the guy. The big guy walks in. And he's the man. And he's in charge of everything. And all the drafting and all the personnel moves and all the coaching, that's all on him. He's the one who gets the credit. He's the one who gets the blame. None of this, everything's ambiguous. Is it Peterson's fault? Is it Roseman's fault? Beyond just their, you know, what they have done wrong. That's what they need to do. I mean, that's this thing is not salvageable by this group. It's not. They have faltered too many times in the draft. I mean, right now, they're going to get the sixth overall pick in the draft. I can't trust them to make the right choice. this personnel office group headed by Howie, and Jeffrey's a big part of it. I can't trust them. I don't know who's making those decisions. But I mean, one of the things that came out last night is, which is scary, is that Jalen Reagor might not even, he could be a bust, let alone like he's not that good and he's not Justin Jefferson. He could be a bust. That's a very real possibility. He couldn't be, guys, this Seattle defense, and we've talked about it last week and yesterday, this Seattle defense is not the Legion of Boom. This was one of the worst passing defenses in the league. You watch Kyler Murray go up and down the field with them. Up and down the field against that team. All year long, they've been dotted. And, I mean, they were right to be beaten last night. And Jalen Reagor couldn't get any separation. Could get no separation. So, he appears not to be able to play other than the Josh Huff role. And that's who he reminds me of. He reminds me of Josh Huff. Let me give him his biggest attribute was he can jump. He can jump. Are you kidding me? So he can, the personnel is just a mess. Now to the coach. The coach has no answers. The coach has 8 days to prepare for that game, and he can't get a first down. All right? His game script, wow. I've read bad scripts in my life. He might be one of the worst authors in the history of the NFL. He can't get a first down. It took him to the third quarter again to roll the quarterback out. Listen, the quarterback's a Magoo, all right? He can't see down the field. He's a stone mess. But, and it's a huge but, it's a Buffalo but, he's got no direction, no help. The only shining light of this season was Travis Fulgham. And these guys, in their infinite wisdom, pushed Alshon Jeffrey back on this active roster. And they crushed the only thing of merit. And that was Travis Fulgham, who wasn't targeted until the fourth quarter last night. Now, if you're Doug Peterson and you realize that Fulgham is that much of an afterthought, don't you find a way to get the ball in his hands? Don't you? Miles Sanders ran the ball 6 times. 6. I mean, 6 times. Are you kidding me? And then forget about his in-game decisions, which are nonsensical, which are not well thought out. He cannot think on his feet. He throws a challenge flag like, you know, obviously it's the guys upstairs. But that is such a woeful challenge that I don't know what to say about it. Is the Magoo, was Carson Wentz upstairs telling him to challenge? Because he didn't see the play either in the replay that the whole world saw? I'm flabbergasted. And then, but this is the one that just I just throw my hands up. Because I never thought that Doug Peterson was a bright coach. I thought he was more of a heart guy than a brains guy. But we're talking about, you know, fundamental football. There's 8 minutes left in the game. You're down 11 points. All right? You got a 4th and 4. And you go for it? Like, what goes through your mind? And his answer after the game was, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to stay aggressive. Well, that's just aggressively stupid. That, again, that's all balls and no brains. And I'm sorry. I can't have those kinds of decisions made off of stones and not brains. You know, in the words of Apollo Creed, be a thinker, not a stinker. I mean, what are you doing? Extend the football game. Why in the world would you go fourth and four? I have no concept. And this whole excuse of, well, you never know if you're going to be back down there. Well, you did score a touchdown before that. You had six. You did score. You got to extend the game. I mean, this is elemental stuff. But again, we saw no creativity. We saw very little of any kind of movement. I mean, there are woefully coached, and Wentz is completely a mess, an absolute mess. And it's sad. I mean, the whole thing is really pathetic. Do you realize that all year long, they have 9 passes over 30 yards? 9. And 4 of them are by Fogum, who takes a seat because of Alshon Jeffrey. And then you have the whole Hurts fiasco. What are you doing? Why would you bring Hurts in on second down like that? What sense does that make? There is no reason. There's nothing of how they use this kid. It's just a waste. And so you got to look at it impassively. And you need to give everybody a watch and a pat on the rear end. And I love you, buddy. Seeing when we get together for the reunion, and you got to then hire people that know what they're doing. And you got to hope that you can get the right people, because right now they're a mess. Very few players under the age of 30 years old worth salvaging. It's a bad roster. You got cap issues, and you got a quarterback who's a complete mess. It's one of those good lucks. But unless we want to have 10 years of bad football, we got to try to figure this thing out. And it starts with cleaning house. Of course, it still needs to end this way. But as I feel on December 1st, I think this is what it is. Good morning, Chunas.
Hey, I wanted to stay home again today.
I don't blame you.
I didn't want to come in.
Nah.
I don't want to go through with this. I mean, this is... Have you found yourself enjoying, like, football less and less every single week when it comes to watching the Eagles?
Because it's bad football.
It's awful.
I find solace in other games.
Yes. It's gotten to the point where I go, man, if I wasn't doing this, I would probably be watching the other game that's on at that time. So obviously last night you couldn't.
No, it's bad football. It's bad.
It's awful.
I mean, you look at the first possessions.
Yeah.
I mean,
3 and out. Bye.
They were -5 yards for the first quarter.
And the first opening drive, you got hard count, encroachment. You're 1st and 5.
Yeah, you start first.
You're 1st and 5. They give you a gift to start the game. And is that not just the perfect story? It's another piece. There were so many perfect stories when it comes to this season yesterday. Starting the game 1st and 5, and you still go 3 and out. Barely being able to score in the first half. Again, you got lucky because of a 2-minute drive at the end. Jalen Hurts completing 1 pass, and of course the pass was caught by Alshon Jeffrey, and then earlier in the game Alshon drops a pass from Carson Wentz. There were so many perfect storylines that just tell the perfect story that is the 2020 Eagles last night.
You ready? First possession, like you said, 1st and 5. 3 plays, 0 yards gained.
Awesome.
Punt. Second possession. Now mind you, Peterson had 8 days to figure out a game plan.
Yes. Just like he had 14 days to figure out a game plan against the Giants, and that didn't work.
Possession number 2. 3 plays, 1 yard, punt. Possession number 3. 3 plays, minus 6 yards, punt. Possession number four. Three plays, 1 yard, punt. Possession number five. Three plays, 8 yards, punt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you came up with.
Richard Sherman and 25-year-old Bobby Wagner looked really good yesterday. Oh, wait, sorry. That was 10 years ago. The Seahawks defense is one of the worst statistical defenses in the NFL. One of the worst. And you scored a garbage time touchdown
to get
in the double digits.
By the way, the other touchdown comes because they missed a grounding penalty.
Yes.
Where Wentz was 3 yards short of the line of scrimmage. I don't know how the hell they missed that.
The ref's standing right there.
Listen, between some of those calls and Peterson going for it on
fourth and four.
Well, no. Going for two after the Hail Mary, I'd say that thing was a fix.
It's a good point.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, there were so many just... Dude, I don't know what to say anymore. The going for it on fourth and four, when if you kick a field goal, it's a one possession game. So whether you score a touchdown or a field goal, you're still down two scores at that point. So get the field goal. I get it. The touchdown's the harder one to get, but just get the field goal at that point. What are you doing, dude? Don't tell me it's because you're being aggressive. No, it's just dumb. And then you brought up the challenge flag. I mean, that was clearly a catch. Who's upstairs? We talk about gut the entire house. It's not just the coaching staff. Who the hell is the replay guy? This team sucks from top to bottom.
It goes back into their analytics.
It's awful.
Right? But so much of Peterson is driven by analytics. Right? And I question whether or not he understands the use of analytics, but whatever. I think that's bestowed on him. I think this whole thing is Jeffrey and Howie telling you how smart they are. And they can reinvent everything. And all the football guys who picked on them.
I'll show you.
It comes back to the big brain on Brad. Right? Like, that's what it feels like. So we're
going
to
check out the big brain on Brad.
We're going to use analytics. And we're going to be go for it. And we'll get the we got the coach puppet. Coach Fredo.
Maybe Howie's calling plays.
That will yank up and down. I don't know what else to think. All I do know is for the health of the franchise going forward, they have to act with Jeffrey Lurie, who, and it's tough because he's part of the problem. Like, I like the man a lot. He's a great owner and he cares.
He's involved.
But he's too involved.
Yep.
And it's going to be difficult for him to step aside. I really believe that. But he's going to have to swallow his ego and bring in a coach that really understands things. And the coach gets final say on personnel.
Yep.
I'm a big believer in that. Forget these GMs. Forget it. And the GM hires the coach. You better go hire the coach, and he's in charge of everything. You need one guy to answer to. CEO, that's who you got to hire. Somebody who's smart, somebody who understands Saturdays as well as Sunday.
Somebody who drafted DK Metcalf.
Somebody that has a whole staff. He's got personnel people. He's got a full coaching staff. Whatever side of the ball he's on, right? He brings a staff. He brings a plan. You need someone to come in here with a plan. That's the only way to fix this thing. I mean, unless you think that this group can save it, and I don't think they got any answers.
No, they got no shot. They got no shot. Congratulations on 2017. Get out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I'm just looking at it without emotion. Not about 2017. It's not about, you know, personal attacks or anything like that. It's just about, guys, listen, love you. We'll always love you. But it's, you know, we got to move on.
Well, my emotion is 3-7-1. That's my emotion.
Well, but here's the thing, and we'll discuss it coming up, and we'll get to everybody. But when Daryl Morey goes, Yeah, you should at least get 5 years if they win a championship. And he said that to me on the show. That's if you're Daryl Morey and you have credibility, right? But that wasn't something long-lasting. That was something that it was a stroke of good fortune and a moment in time. Well, that moment is past. It's time to move on. Cuz Radio with Chunis just getting started. Day after another debacle.
And this is Andrew Sal Chunis. Add a little excitement this football season. And, man, we do need it because when you're watching the birds, you don't get really any excitement. Bet all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is so simple to use. They've got great odds, unique fun bet types, and exclusive promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. You place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire first bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. I know I've been going against them all season long. Indianapolis, just 3-point favorites in Houston. I think they cover that. I think Houston's been playing a little bit better, but overall, I think Indy's the better team. Haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook? Well, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code Fanatic so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Fanatic. Must be 21 plus and present New Jersey or PA. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey! Carson Wentz gives them the best chance to win. They don't have the pieces around him to win. Now you can put Jalen Hurts out there just to see, like just to hope and see if he can spark something. But I don't think that anybody in the organization feels like Jalen Hurts, at least throwing the football, is going to give him a better chance than Carson Wentz.
Hey! Last night the broadcast was absolutely fabulous. Let me just say that. They were on point. Lewis Riddick, fabulous. Brian Greasy, who you just heard, fabulous. Steve Levy, fabulous. They were fantastic last night. They were critical of the organization without being unfair. They looked at it through the prism of football. They were especially good last night. Now, you know, that's the great conundrum if you're the Eagles, which is you're saddled with Wentz, right? You're saddled with a guy that is completely a mess right now. He doesn't see the field. He's still gun shy. He's got no help around him. So it's not going to get fixed. It's funny because we always talk about how he doesn't throw guys open. And in fact, there was only one time this year where I thought he was getting out of that. Now you tell me, Andrew and Tunis, if you agree with me. But when he had a special connection with Travis Fulgham, and I thought when he threw to Fulgham, he was playing quarterback. He was playing good quarterback when he was throwing. When he and Fulgham were in rhythm.
Yeah.
Where you have timing with a player. You have a connection with a player. Right? There was a rhythm with Fulgham.
Hey, he wasn't throwing it at Fulgham. He was throwing it at the spot where Fulgham was going to be.
Exactly.
That touchdown against the 49ers. That was perfectly thrown. He read it perfectly. Fulgham did. Great
so
play.
You had four out of the nine place, just nine of 30 more. In this era of football where the Chiefs will do it nine times in a game, let alone a season.
Tyreek Hill nine times in a quarter.
Exactly. You've done it nine times, four with Fulgham. So my conclusion is this. This group can't fix him. The coaching is too weak. he's too much of a mess, and you don't have personnel. You have trouble blocking for him, and he's got no real connection. Now that Jeffrey spoiled the party with Fulgham, you got nothing. So, and you got to fix him. That's the issue. Unless you somehow get so bad and you just want to draft a quarterback. I mean, you're not going to get Lawrence because the Jets are going to get Lawrence.
Yeah, but you're getting pretty close.
But you are getting down there where you could actually, you know, may draft a quarterback.
Yeah. And you take the other Bison.
You know, I mean, but there's a decision. The problem is you got major cap issues with Wentz. You just can't cut him. That's the biggest problem with the situation, is that you can't cut Wentz. You got to try to at least fix him. And the Hurts pick, just that thing was such a mistake. And so was Rager. That was a monstrous mistake.
Yeah, I found myself saying this last night. I was texting with some people. I was like, he could still become an okay player, right? Like, I don't think he's a total bust, but you can see that one pass to the end zone down the left sideline where it was just out of the reach of Rager. Justin Jefferson may go up and grab that because he's got more size, and it seems like he's got a little bit more balls in him, at least right now. I mean, Rager's coming off of an injury. I don't want to, you know, slight anyone's manhood, but it looks like, you know, Rager, Justin Jefferson, you're seeing him go after everything on the field. I've seen other guys like Denzel Mims going after balls and making plays. You know, it's I like Rager. I like him, but you look at some of these guys that are top five in the NFL are all guys that the Eagles could have had.
Yeah.
They could have had Jefferson. They could have had DeAndre Hopkins for a second round pick if they were willing to spend the money, right? They could have drafted DK Metcalf instead of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They could have drafted Terry McLaurin instead of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The guys in the top five right now are all guys that the Eagles could have had.
Yep.
And they went with Arcega-Whiteside 1 year, and the following year they went with Jalen Rager, to the point where the Minnesota Vikings war room laughed and celebrated that they got their guy one pick late.
Well, the other issue with Rager, and you see it, is that he may be fast, but you know what? It's funny. I didn't know this. My cousin brought this up to me. He said, do you know that Justin Jefferson ran a faster 40 than Rager?
Yeah.
I didn't even forget all about that. I mean, the whole point was you got a speed guy, and Jefferson's not as...
And he came from a winning program in LSU. Sometimes you just connect the dots.
I mean, the idea that he could jump, I mean, it's absurd.
That's the thing. Like, I like Jalen Rager, but sometimes you just go, wait a minute. So this guy that is taller, but runs faster than Rager, and is coming from the national championship program in LSU, he's still on the board. Might be smart to just take him. But you know what it is? It's smartest man in the room syndrome.
And that appears to be the greatest issue with this whole thing and why it needs to be blown up. All right, let's get it started on the phone line, shall we? Let's go to Michael in Baltimore. Michael, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Mike? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm depressed, man.
Yeah.
I'm just depressed because it's like you guys said, there's no hope anywhere here. There's no hope anywhere. But I just want to put this into perspective, though. Whether it's baseball, basketball, whether it's corporate America, when stuff starts crumbling, who do you have to blame?
Well, when stuff starts crumbling, you blame the CEO, the guy in charge.
Yes. You got to blame the leadership. You got to blame. And Doug has no leadership, real leadership over this football team. He might have leadership over, like, this guy. You know, he might be a good guy, you know, high five you, tell you everything's okay.
Yeah.
But he's not a leader over this football team. You want to know something telling? Malik Jackson got that dumb personal foul there in the red zone early in the game on that first drive Seattle had.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Dumb play on that. He should have been running to the sideline. Doug should have pulled him. Like, what the hell are you doing? We're trying to win a game. This is going to be close. No personal foul. Malik Jackson was in the next play.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, what kind of,
no, no, they're dumb. They commit dumb penalties all the time. You're so right, Mike.
No real football coach does that.
Yeah.
It's first and five. They handed you an offsides or encroachment penalty. Your best offensive weapon is your running back. Run the ball. First
yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
You're down two possessions. You got 8 minutes left. You got 7 minutes left. Kick the damn field goal.
Yeah.
It's just simple things that a football, any football person would do that we're not doing. And then you get the guy on the back end when you talk to him in the press conference. He talks to you like you don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, hey, everyone's saying the same thing. You suck. And it's showing. And everyone's saying the same thing. And I don't know if you guys heard about it or noticed it, but over in Chicago, guess what that head coach did to try to better his team? He gave up play calling responsibility. Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Doug used to do the same.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, does it matter?
It matters because at this point, if you get better play calling in and you see some kind of elevation out of Wentz's game, you could kind of breathe.
Here's the problem, though. And listen, I'm fine with that because I think he sucks as a play caller. All right, I do. And hey, you want to put Deuce and give Deuce the play calling duties? Go ahead. I fine. But here's the other issue: he still manages the game. And the problem is, like, why would you?
He can't manage.
Right.
He can't manage.
Why would you not kick the field goal there? You need three.
Last week, it's the end of the first half. We sacked Baker Mayfield.
And he didn't call timeout.
And that, not only that, he was asked at the end of the game, and he was
he stammered. Yeah, he didn't even remember.
What?
Yeah.
That's what you're going for.
Mikey, you're dead right, man. Thank you, bro. I'm sorry.
Even if he said, we were trying to save those timeouts for when Wentz got the ball and we were going to try to march down the field, I would have at least said, hey, you're an idiot, but I see you thinking.
Exactly.
He wasn't even thinking.
No, he's not. No, I agree. Mikey, right, you're dead right.
We gotta get him out.
I hear you. Thank you, baby.
Gotta get him out.
Appreciate it, brother. You're dead right, man. You're dead right. Horrible. I mean, it really is. He doesn't think, or he can't think quickly, or he's misguided. Like, why in the world would you just kick the field goal? Like, this whole notion of, well, I don't know if I'll get back down there. I mean, you're trying to extend the game. You got to know that 4th and 4 is not a gimme, especially since you're 7 for 21 on 4th downs this year. Why would you go for that?
You mean Riverboat Doug is losing? Like, come on, man.
Like, that's not a philosophy, going for it every time. That's, you go to Gamblers Anonymous.
Yeah, and you got to know your own personnel, man.
Right.
Like, it was great in 2017 when guys were 3 years younger. Right? Not right now. Your team sucks. They suck.
Yeah. Let's go to Doc in Brooklyn. Doc, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Doc.
Hey, cuz. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
This is Doc, originally from South Philly, St. Charles. Your brother from another mother.
Yes! Oh, that's my man! How are you, Doc?
Yes, sir. I'm good, man. I'm good, and thank you for supporting me. I'm catching up with you guys lately.
First of all, thank you for all your work during the pandemic. How is it up there, Doc?
It's much better, but yeah, we're on guard right now because things are ticking up a little bit. But yeah, we went through hell, and as you know, in the spring, and so yeah, I'm doing my part. God bless you, man. Mental health of New York, and now you guys are helping me with my mental health. What's going on with the Eagles? Our parents are rolling in their graves. Listen, Josh Hubb, don't say that, but listen, Jalen Reagan, to me, I mean, his ceiling is like Randall Cobb. Possibly. But basically, you know, I'm beyond what's been going on with these games, and I'm with you, man. Let's move ahead to look to the future. And so tell me what, when you talk about the organizational structure, I hear you on the CEO, on the man, because one of the things you mentioned last week had to do with the media and you were comparing from when you were up here in New York and talking about the media. The person also, and I mean, listen, it's a number of things that are troubling with Doug right now, but you can see him imploding with what is a relatively benevolent media down there.
Oh yeah.
So that's another characteristic, the person that you have in mind. So tell me, I mean, without necessarily, if you don't have any names, what kind of
I got three names if you want to look. I mean, that I thought about. I'm sure more candidates will come. But, I got three candidates. One is in, or two are in Kansas City. Eric Bieniemy, it would be one, a guy that I think is really, really bright, a real big offensive guy, but a very, very sharp football man. That would be one. Joe Brady, who's the offense coordinator in Carolina, by way of LSU, who's 31 years old, really, really sharp. He would be another. And then, and I don't want to, be accused of showing favoritism, but my guy Spags has won two Super Bowls, two different teams. He is a bright, bright man. He learned a lot from a really bad situation in St. Louis. Uh-huh. And I think he would marry, he'd bring in an offensive guy from college to come in here. And there's a couple names at college that I don't want to throw out there just yet, who I know as possibility, but those would be my three candidates that I would talk to.
Yeah, come on, Lori. Give it up, Lori. Give it up, Lori. Please. 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 And that's all. I'm out. I'm going to stay.
Doc, listen, God bless you, man.
God bless you,
your
too,
family,
man.
All right? Be safe up there, okay?
Likewise.
Thanks, buddy. But, those would be my three candidates to start. Now, again, there's going to be more. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. But
guys become available.
But these guys, these are my, as of right now, they're my three that would interest me the most. And without showing any kind of favoritism, Spags deserves to be in the conversation.
I mean, it makes sense. You pilfer from the team that won the Super Bowl last year and could very well get there again this year.
He's going to get looks in the, I know he's going to be a candidate in, with the Jets. But if you're going to go do this, you got to go and you got to let these guys bring in their own personnel guys.
Football guys, yep.
Right? They got to build their whole staff. Like when you're coming in, you got to allow these guys to be it. No GMs and all. Now, one guy that is interesting to me that's kind of going back to the future that could come in and be a part of it. It's funny, but it kind of needs a guy like him, is Joe Banner. And it's kind of interesting because I think he's learned a lot. I think he knows a lot more about players, about how the system works. I think he's still plugged in. It's a guy to think about to bring in as a part of the team. Still the head coach, though, has the final say.
Kind of like a consultant, right?
Well, or maybe he works with the head coach.
It's almost like a Gruden Mayock kind of deal.
But there's a lot of guys out there like that. Like, Andy's got Brett Veach, who's the, his guy. Like,
right.
There are all these dudes that, these personal guys, like Heckert used to be one of these guys that worked, that, were the GMs and all, but they work under the head coach.
The question is, and, listen, this will be wrong of him to do this, but would Jeffrey Lurie be scared to give somebody full power after what happened with Chip?
Probably, I guess.
Right? So then you bring in the puppet that is Doug Peterson. You and Howie are the puppet masters. You win, so you think you're now geniuses.
Yeah.
And then you go, all right, well, we don't want to bring in a guy that's going to seek all power because we just went through that 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And that was a total disaster that blew up in our face.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that kind of would scare him into doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Chip was a total J.O.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe it does, but you can't be afraid because Chip Kelly was a J.O. that you're worried about, somebody else. You got to come in and get the right guy. You did it before. They picked Andy Reid when Andy Reid was a quarterback's coach in Green Bay. I mean, that was a great hire. I mean, he did it before.
Yeah.
Let's go to Aaron, my man. What's happening, Ant, Big A?
Hey, Ant, man, I swear sometimes we like, you know, distant cousins. Or I don't know what it is, man. We think the same because I was going to bring up the same subject. I'm not mad today. I got it all out yesterday. but I thought differently, and I'm not going to change because I heard you. This is what I was going to hit you with. If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I'm bringing in Peterson, I'm bringing in Howie. All right? I'm saying, Doug, you're no longer calling plays. This is at the end of the year. You're no longer calling plays. I'm getting an offensive coordinator. He's calling all the plays. You just be the head coach. Okay? Howie, you would no longer draft. I'm bringing in a guy here that would draft. I'm bringing in a GM that can draft. You have nothing to do with that. Only thing you could do is make the cap right. And I still will bring in the CEO to look over everything. But he's not going to get rid of these guys. But you have to take power from these guys. You have to strip all their power. You just be a head coach. You call no plays. You see what I'm saying? You don't do nothing.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Yeah, let me ask you a question about Peterson's a head coach.
Yeah.
What does he do well?
I think everybody says his best quality is leader of men.
Yeah, I've said that. That's actually verbatim of how I've said it. But
right. You said it before.
I have, but here's the problem is that he's not good enough as a game planner. He's not doing it. If you're not game planning,
he could be a part of it. He could be a part of it, but he's not going to.
Well, then he's
got to
go. Like if you don't trust in the game plan, why is he even here?
I mean, what's the offensive coordinator for? He can run play. He can do that too.
Well, no, but
all of a sudden, head coaches do everything. Bellamy. I mean, a lot of head coaches don't. Mike Tomlin don't do none of that.
Well, no, but listen to me for a second. When it comes to play calling, that's different. When it comes to the game plan, the head coach, if he's an offensive coach, is a big part of the game plan.
Well, this is something you can't do. You're not going to be a big part of the game plan. And if you don't like it, you're fired. That's it. I'll get another coach.
Well, I guess that's my point, which is why are you screwing around? Just go get another coach that you have faith in.
Well, that's true too, but I don't think I think he has a loyalty like that for this.
Well, but that's a mistake.
The only thing I'm trying to think.
But again, that loyalty is a mistake.
Right. Right.
So I think we're at the point now where they all got to go. If you don't trust them to fix it, because I don't trust them to fix it,
no,
you're talking about bringing outside guys in to maybe help patch it. Well, that's not going to work either. You got to go swiftly. And just make a move.
I get that, Ant. But do you really think that's what he's going to do? I don't really believe he's going to do that. Here's the thing. That's why I'm trying to give a little different.
But it doesn't matter because you're going to be mediocre to bad again next year.
If you get Bellamy, you get him from Kansas City, and you promise him, listen.
Now, Eric Bieniemy comes in here.
You're going to be a head coach.
Nah, it doesn't work. He's going to get a head coaching job this year.
Think so?
Yes.
I don't know.
You can't hem and haw.
Mags might get one. I don't know. I'm saying I don't know, but you got to do something. We agree you got to do something.
Yes. And
we got to do something fast, and we got to do it now.
The season is done, man.
The season is done.
I agree with you, but you got to let it play out. And Big A, I love you. You got to let it play out, and you got to see what happens. But you got to bring if it continues on this trajectory, then you got to bring somebody else in, and you got to say, hey, dude, by the way, one of the prerequisites of the job is you got to fix Wentz or tell me what to do with him. Right? Because right now, he's such a mess. That goes back to what you had played, Andrew. And it was Doug's conversation with John Lynch.
As long as we don't mess him up.
Yeah. Well.
Thanks, Doug.
Guess what? He's a mess. And I don't know if he can be fixed. Cause Radio with Chunas, 97.5 Fanatic.
And this is Andrew Sal. Chunas and I was out yesterday because it was the anniversary. First anniversary with me and my lovely wife. So I'm here to tell you a little bit more about engagement rings with the holiday season approaching. There is no better time to pop the question to the special woman in your life. I know a lot of people probably did it on Thanksgiving, but listen, during the pictures, your belly looks big because you just ate so much. So now you're getting a little bit closer to Christmas and all the other stuff around it. There's no better place to get the perfect ring than Family and Company Jewelers. When I got engaged, Angelo and the team at Family and Company Jewelers helped calm my nerves, and I walked out of there with a ring that I know she couldn't say no to. She didn't say yes to me. She said yes to the ring. Trust me, if you're looking to get engaged, Family Company should be your only stop this holiday season. And listen, it's a good cause too. You're supporting local business during these tough times. Visit Family Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Online at familyjewelers.com. That's Family Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. Trying to figure out what the hell to do with this football team. Because it's a real problem. Take a listen, and this is from the broadcast last night. Here's Brian Griese talking about the franchise being broken, and then Lewis Riddick expounds on it.
I take all that energy yeah. and start to go out and put your plan together as to how you're going to rebuild this franchise yeah, because it's broken.
No questions, Brian. I couldn't agree with you more. And what that means is you better get together with your coaching staff and ask them, what exactly do you need and do you want? And evaluate and value these people properly and then develop them properly, because there's a breakdown somewhere, somehow, in the chain here as far as the dynamic between what the coaches need, what the front office is delivering, how the coach is developing them, because it's not, look, this doesn't happen by accident. This has been a number of years in the making, and now you're seeing it all come to fruition in a bad way, and now you're going, well, what are we doing?
Yeah. See, it sounds stupid, and it's going to sound ridiculous, but the Super Bowl and just masked everything. It was cologne, right? I mean, that's what it was. It was cologne for people who stink.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to
I mean, I hate to say it like that, but that's kind of what happened.
Right, because we never saw if it was actually working, right? Because 2016 happened. You expected a 500, 7-9 season, which they had, because it was rookie head coach. It was, you know, rookie quarterback. You still had a lot of the players from the previous regime there. You were still moving some guys out. So you didn't expect, nobody expected 2016 for them to go 10-6 or 11-5. You said, all right, this is going to be a growing pain year, and let's deal with it. Let's get excited for the future, which we were. Carson had an okay season, threw a lot of picks, but he was a rookie. But then you just make that leap and you win the Super Bowl, right? You never saw that growth to getting to the Super Bowl. You just saw, boom, it's there. And now you're seeing a decline. We didn't see a growth like we saw the Phillies grow before they won the World Series in 2008. We just saw the Super Bowl.
Well, that's,
but we're now seeing the downfall,
right,
like we
because
did.
Because there was never any steady income. Like, it was never a, it wasn't a rebuild with a foundation.
Right.
There was no foundation. It was like they put the house up without any foundation. And they got to the top and they finished and they were like, wow, it's beautiful. But it had no foundation, so it collapses.
Yeah, I mean, there was no, that team, there was no, like, youth where yeah. you go, oh, this is going to be good. Like, yeah, Corey Clement, and he fell off the face of the earth.
No, you're right. It was no youth. It was a bunch of guys who were really veterans and well-placed.
Yeah.
You know, both Doug and all his fourth downs and everything worked. And Howie, all his signings, everything worked. So
they batted 1,000 that year.
I mean, they were unbelievable. And then you couple that with some good fortune and some Frank Reich, and you know, boom.
Yeah, I mean, and other than Carson, really the key players, I guess you would say, were veteran free agent signings, or like J.J. coming in for via the trade, like Blunt. Right? You look at the running back room. LeGarrette Blount was a veteran free agent. J.J. was a trade. Darren Sproles, I was ready to move on from Darren Sproles about 5 times already. Corey Clement had a great year, but he fell off the face of the earth. Your wide receivers were all veterans, right? It was Alshon. It was Torrey Smith. There wasn't a young guy that you went, wow, this is going to be great. Nelson Agholor had a good year, but I think he got kind of, you know, they didn't look at Agholor because they were looking at Alshon. They were looking at Torrey Smith, and then there's Agholor reaping all the benefits. And then as soon as he gets advanced to wide receiver 1 or 2 the next year, he gets exposed.
Yeah, you know, kind of know the history, but now's not the time to look back.
No.
Now's the time to go. Now, again, you may come to the conclusion that Howie and Doug and everybody else involved can fix it. If you come to that conclusion, I'm not going to say you're crazy, but that's what you see. And then it's a status quo piece. You got to figure out what to do with the quarterback. But I don't. I just think it's a complete disaster. It's already happened, and I don't see these guys being able to fix it. Lee in Elkins Park, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Lee.
What's up, man? How you doing?
How you feeling, brother?
Oh, man, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I just want to say I always listen to your show. I appreciate
Thank you, Lee. Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate you.
Listen, if you give me one thing about I like about you, you give somebody a reasonable amount of time to speak, and I just want to speak.
Sure, go ahead, Lee.
Listen, okay? Let me ask you a question. Out of Oregon, Oklahoma, who would you say play the more tougher competition if you had to guess?
Oregon or Oklahoma? Now, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 both don't have great defenses, but I'd say the Big 12.
Which is?
Which is what?
Which is Oklahoma?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, cool. No, I'm sorry. Now, There's a quarterback that went to Oregon his senior year that threw 32 touchdowns, had over 3,400 yards passing.
He's
Chargers lighting it up right now.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. Yeah.
Guess who played Oklahoma senior year, the same season.
Oh, I watched
it. Over 3,400 yards.
Jalen Hurts.
Right. The only thing, now I agree with everything you said, everything I disagree with you, is just bypass Hurts and say, contemplating drafting a quarterback, because I don't think that's necessary. I really think that because of the money they paying Carson Wentz. See, if Doug Peterson tell you something, one thing you can't overcome is him saying, oh, he's not ready. How do we know?
Yeah, my only reason why, and I kind of just threw that in there, I'm not drafted a quarterback at 6, but my only point was that if somehow Lawrence, like Trevor Lawrence is a guy that you would take if you had a lot of different quarterbacks, right? Because he could be so special, but chances are you're not going to be there for that. That's the only reason why I even brought up a quarterback. Your point about Hurts, yeah, I mean, let's see what you got in him. I'm not the biggest Hurts fan because he played with a lot of great talent, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe you're right.
Maybe we're also finding out. Remember, Carson Wentz got hurt, right? And I think by him being hurt too, that causes people that bought him a little time and people just waiting for him to get back. But if he never got hurt and he regressed, I think people would see it clear, because I like everything the announcer said. The only thing I didn't like about the announcer, and this is just me,
uh-huh,
and I could be wrong, my opinion might stink.
Yeah.
Once he said he a Carson Wentz guy, he remind me of somebody I'm arguing with in the barbershop all the time. No matter what I say, he took up for Carson Wentz through the whole thing. I understand the line bad. I understand the receiver's bad. I understand all that. And I'm going to leave you with this. If Doug Peterson, if you want to see if it's all Doug Peterson or it's Carson Wentz, let Jalen Hurts play and let us see what happens. Same team.
Yeah.
Same offensive line.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave you with that, cuz.
I'd like it. Lee, be safe, all right, man?
God bless you, man.
You too, brother. Take it easy. Listen, it's you know, again, that's a fair assessment. And I would play Hurts at some point. I might even do it this week. I mean, I don't even think Wentz was, I mean, he was bad. I don't think he was especially horrible. But I may look at Hurts and just see what I got. I need to learn. Listen, you're not going to win a division, all right? So this whole thing is really bad, right? So if I'm in the midst of a bad year, I got to salvage something. I need to learn some things. Now, I'm not going to get a full answer either way, but I'd like to see Hurts. I want to see him play and just see what I got. You know, listen, Wentz is still your guy. He still has to be your guy because of the contract. But at least you find out some intel on Hurts. Now, it might not be the greatest intel because the line's still the line and the weapons are still the weapons. But at least I have an intel and I get some kind of, you know, read on who Hurts is. And I got to know that fact. Now, it all depends. Do you want to do it now or do you want to say to Wentz, hey, you'll play Green Bay, and then, you know, we may turn it over. The last four games go to Hurts, and we're going to shut you down because you need to just see it. Your head's so messed up right now. You got to. I'm going to sit you down for the rest of the year. We're not making the playoffs. This is what it is, and the kid's going to play. And then we're going to try to rebuild you, and we're going to see what Hurts is. And then we'll sort it out in the offseason. I mean, that's one plan of attack.
Yeah, I mean, and I was stunned that he didn't go into the game the final 4 minutes against Cleveland because the Eagles' offense was dead at that point. We've talked about it. You know, those games where the Eagles were trailing, but they came back in the fourth quarter and either won or came close to winning or tied with Cincinnati. Carson Wentz put the team on his back and showed life in the fourth quarter. That game against Cleveland, there's no life. Like, that team looked dead, and I go, you know what? There's no shame in bringing in Jalen Hurts. You can still start Carson Wentz the following week. I heard so many people say, well, you can't bring in Hurts because what if he plays well? It doesn't matter. If you bring in Jalen Hurts, you can still, Carson Wentz can still be your starter. We've seen that before in the NFL where the backup comes in, even if it's a young kid, may play well for 4 minutes, but you still believe that Carson Wentz is your starter. You start him the next week. The worst thing, and I, you know, take this with a grain of salt. The worst thing that happened yesterday for the people that wanted to see Jalen Hurts was the Eagles driving and scoring a touchdown right before halftime. If they go into halftime with 0 points again,
yeah,
no doubt in my mind, Jalen Hurts starts the second half of that game.
Yeah, because I think Lurie, and that was the story, right?
Yes, yeah.
That Lurie said it. Issued an edict.
Like, if this is still going on, put in Hurts. But because they went 75 yards downfield.
And how about, and remember, that whole thing was set up by a horrific call.
Yeah.
I mean, that was grounding. If the bad snap was grounding.
I mean, I don't know what the ref was looking at. I mean, he's literally standing on the line. If the ball doesn't go to your right, if the ball goes to your left and you're the line judge.
Yeah,
that's a simple.
Can I ask you another question? Because that was really shady. Why isn't that reviewable? Of all things, shouldn't that be reviewable as to why? We're like, you would think that would be the ultimate. We can now look back and see where the ball landed. How is that not reviewable?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, they can review stuff as far as do they cross the line before they throw the ball, right?
Exactly.
Why
wouldn't you review that?
Especially when it's clear. Like, I get it. If it's in the air, right? It's not clear and obvious.
It's just like, wow. How is that not reviewable? That's amazing to me. But follow that down. Like, that's a question that I want to ask one of these rules analysts. All right? Follow it away for March.
Hey, Pereira. Yeah. What's the deal here?
I've got this burning stupid question, and it's kind of innocuous, but why isn't that reviewable? Because that makes no sense to me.
It's not going to be Blandino, though.
You hate Dean Blandino.
I hate that guy. He's the worst.
C. D. Dan. What's up, dude?
Yeah, thank God for you, dude.
What's happening, my brother?
I got to go quick, dude, because I got to utilize this full 2 minutes. I want to give you some positivity to start, though. My buddy Steve Matos sends a big yo from Sanks Mechanical in Northeast Philly.
Nice.
And happy anniversary, Andrew. And that's the positivity for you because I can't
see you. Oh, that's beautiful, dude. You're my man. That's nice.
Dude, so my main point is they need to find a way to salvage Wentz because they're married to him and they don't have a prenup. That's first and that's most important. But I just want to list off these things and then you can just bang on me. You can. It doesn't matter. I just want to try to get them out. All right, so this is the worst regression for a quarterback ever, statistically speaking, according to Ian Rappaport. Dan Orlovsky said that Wentz was rolled out of the pocket one time in this game, yet again. Said there's no separation from the wide receivers. That's on Howie and Doug. There's no consistent line play. There's no consistent protection. Jamal Adams was basically teleporting into the backfield yesterday. They don't run the ball at all. They ran it 8 times total with between Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. They have aging veterans that don't want to play out there, dude. Okay, now they're messing with Fulgham's head because they're putting Jeffrey out there. It's crazy, dude. They don't kick the field goal. Doug Peterson's comment on Darius Slay saying he played good. Compared to what? Tyreek Hill's numbers? He gave up 177 yards. How hard it is just to say, you know, dude, he had a rough game or something like that. Just he doesn't have to trash him, but he's got to be realistic, dude. And then you go to Hurts, their usage on Hurts. They don't know how to use them. Why did they even draft them? And it goes back.
I know. Well, first of all, it was an idiotic. I know.
Real.
I know. It was an idiotic pick. It really was. It was such a bad pick. You know, it's funny. You look at Jeremy Chin. You look at Patrick Queen. You look at the help you could have had on defense, right?
Dude, look at the big F you got from Metcalf yesterday right in your face.
That was embarrassing. Right at home, dude. At home.
Dude,
he came
every
in.
Game we have to make a change, dude. He's regressing. Carson's regressing terribly, dude. Every game we wait, it gets worse. They have to do something now. And the end of Monday Night Football, you should play that every 10 minutes because that is accurate, dude. What they said is the truth. 11 out of 12 weeks, Anthony, has been unenjoyable. The only enjoyable week's been the bye week. Okay, even San Francisco, Nick Mullins gave us that game. This is
Ben Benucci gave you a game, too. Yeah.
I feel terrible for Winston. They broke this dude. They broke him. And they're doing it. They did it probably with Aguilar. They're probably going to do it for Fulgham, dude. This is a mess, dude. And you can hear it. Like, dude, I love my Eagles. And I understand it's a game. But this is ridiculous, dude.
CD Dan, I feel you, brother. Great call, man. Love your passion.
Sorry to freak out this.
No, that's what it's about, dude. That's why we're here. No. Great call. I quite frankly, it makes no sense what they did with Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, think about this for a sec. Think about some of these moves. And I know it's a broken record, and I know that DK Metcalf came in here with a giant middle finger right up to the Eagles owner's box.
Like coming home, you know, a place that had a chance to draft me, but you know they didn't. So you know, I got to make them pay.
Yeah. I salute DK. We loved you, you know, and I know, you know, the Eagles, and I was told this 1,000 times. Medical. They had a medical on them, and the Eagles weren't the only team who had a medical on them, which is why he fell to the second round. Everybody could actually look at him and see the size. But, you know, once he falls to the second round, you got to take the chance. Right? Like, you got to take the chance.
Yes.
If you're going to take another wide receiver, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, that he works out, is a coin flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that Metcalf could play. God forbid if you're unlucky and he gets a bad hit and you know, he's done. Something bad happens. Well, you know, you took the lock of a player. Like, he was a player. Everybody knew he was a specimen and could play. The thing was is that they worried about his neck.
Yeah.
And could, you know, would he get one of these injuries? You know?
So instead you draft
it's like Joel Embiid, right? Like,
right.
You know, you got to take the gamble. You got to take the risk. God forbid something happened with Joe's feet. That was that bone in your foot that doesn't have a lot of blood flow. The vehicular bone?
Vehicular.
Yeah.
Nabicular.
Nabicular, something, whatever.
Something like that.
But anyway.
We're not doctors.
Yeah. Well, of course not. But that's what, that's the whole point. Like, sometimes you got to do that. And in the second round, that's, I get it. You don't want to do it in the first round. Believe me, I understand that. But come on, man. You're in the second round. You need a wide receiver. Terrible. You got this friggin' stud. Anyway, before the game, Schwartz says, I coached Megatron. You're not there yet. Hey, Jim, are you stupid? Why in the world would you light a fire? DK went on to say that Schwartz saying that in that, it lit a fire on them.
One of the defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, you know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
Who else is in Detroit?
Thanks, Jim.
I mean,
I appreciate you.
I mean, why would you say that before the game? That's idiotic.
Even when you coached a good game for once, you're still a moron.
That's idiotic to say that. Why would you possibly? Why would you say that? And by the way, Darius Slay played his heart out.
Yeah.
I mean, I got no qualms. Darius Slay was like apologetic. I got you. Listen, hey, dude, you tackled hard. You played hard. I got no beef with Darius Slay. Thank you. He plays his heart out. He's one of the few shining bright spots of this defense. And McLeod played well, too, I thought. And here's the thing. I expected Slay to shadow Metcalf. I thought Lockett was going to be the mismatch. But Roby Coleman had him pretty well. I was shocked. All those pick plays they ran, the Eagles played those well.
Yeah, the defense played okay yesterday. It really did. I mean, I get it, 177 yards.
Well, look at those moves. Metcalf, Rager, right? Metcalf, Rager, signing Alshon Jeffrey to that contract.
After drafting his replacement.
I mean, that's absolutely painful. And you wonder why you're sitting where you're at. And you got Coach Fredo, who's, go for it. What? What? What are you talking about?
You excited to hear from him in an hour?
Nah, I'm really not. I'm really over him.
It's not just one guy, ain't
it? It's not.
Yeah.
Listen.
So maybe coach up the team a little bit.
Guy. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, it's not just his fault.
Every week I hear it's not just one guy. All right. And that comes back to the coach.
Unless you think he can fix it, because I don't. Let me tell you, it's a great fight this weekend. Errol the Truth Spence risks it all, puts his title on the line against our own Danny Garcia in the biggest fight of the year. Goes down Saturday, December 5th, live on pay-per-view. Buy now on foxsports.com/pay-per-view and watch it on any screen you want. Errol Spence Jr. was on top of the boxing world. The undefeated former U.S. Olympian had just unified the world welterweight titles in front of a capacity crowd at Staples Center in L.A. But days after the win, Spence suffered a horrific car accident where he miraculously survived being thrown from his car before it flipped several times. Now he takes on Danny Garcia, Philadelphia's own, the quintessential Philadelphia fighter, tough, hard-nosed boxer, puncher, who could beat you with style or grind you down to a nub over 12 rounds. It all goes down Saturday live on pay-per-view. Buy now on foxsports.com/PPV or Xfinity customers. Order now by going to xfinity.com/boxing or just say boxing into your Xfinity voice remote.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Did you find this?
No. I guess
the bro found it?
No, this is just the actual instrumental to Dominic the Donkey. I guess Coach is mixing in the holiday music, but is this not fitting?
I have to entrust you.
Gosh, it went great.
Oh, it's somewhere. I'll dive in.
Find it. Somebody did. When we were in the mornings, before Doug turned into, like, before he turned into a
Riverboat punk. Doug.
Yeah.
Before Riverboat Doug.
It was like the opposite. It was like he was Dopey Doug, then he turns into Riverboat Doug, wins the Super Bowl, then he turns back to Dopey Doug. When he was the first time Dopey Doug, somebody did a parody of Dougie P. the Donkey, the Christmas Donkey. And it was hilarious when I was doing the Bitch and Complain line, and we actually had all these creative people who I loved, and they were contributing. And somebody did this song, and it was outrageous. All right, so can I give you an example about thinking quickly on your feet and play calling?
Yeah, I'm good.
Let me just go. I don't want to go out of school here, but I want to illustrate it to a point. Now, I was talking to Spags yesterday, and we were talking about the Tampa Bay game. Now, every week I watch Kansas City, Carolina, Buffalo. I watch some others, but they're my three go-to guys because I care about those guys. Obviously, Spags, Matt Rhule, and Sean McDermott. So, anyway, I'm watching the Chiefs game, and I take notes and write down little things. So, do you remember the touchdown? So, I was joking with Spags. I go, "You're Brady's kryptonite, right? Because of the Giants, and he's always played them well." And, you know, and he's like, yeah, far from it. And I go, "You're his kryptonite." So, you know, Tyreek Hill has a great first quarter and lost the whole thing. Spags doing a hell of a job defensively against Brady. So you remember they make it close. Brady starts to get high a little bit, and he hits that on 4th and 3. He hits Evans for a touchdown. You remember the play?
Yep. Oh, I know it well.
So on the play,
I'd Casey 5.5.
Did you? Sorry. On the play, Spags is showing man zero. That's an all-out blitz.
Right.
All right? So Brady's expecting man zero, right? Because he remembers from last year, he was going zero blitz the whole time, just sending a house at him. So Brady's thinking that. So Spags is going, all right, I know Brady's thinking this, so I'm going to back off. And what he calls was 3 doubles. That means he was doubling Evans, Brown, and Godwin. So he calls 3 doubles. Now, he's got Evans doubled. The corner allows Evans to release on the outside. So then it's up to the safety to pick him up.
Yep.
But the safety didn't get there in time. Otherwise, it's the perfect call, right? Brady's taking all out blitz. I'm going to go to Evans. If the safety's there, no good. You know, they turn it over on downs. But that's the thinking behind it, right? Brady's expecting all out blitz. I'll call 3 doubles against their 3 stud wide receivers.
Right.
Take my chances on the tight end, singled up, and I'm gonna try to take away those 3 gazelles.
Right.
But that's what goes on.
And Brady's probably going up to Arian saying, "Trust me, dude, this is what he did to me all year last year.
Right. And Brady's making a call anyway on the field. Right. So, You know, but anyway, that's the, like the mindset. That's where, like, that's the sophistication. That's being played at the height of the league. Let's go to Justin. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Justin.
How's it going there, guys? Thank you for having me. Quick shout out to my mom. She's actually the Eagles fan. I caught on with her. I'm a Dolphins fan, born and raised in South Florida. So just want to say what's going on.
Give her a yo. You got to give her a yo. Yo to mom.
My Eagles fly. Well, not too much right now, but she's been dancing in the room the last 3 years as my Dolphins have sucked. So just wanted to get into what's going on. I think, I'm a little bit confused as to people that keep saying they want to make it to the playoffs because it is a possibility. If it comes out to be that way, then great. Why not do it? B, I don't think you should swap Wentz out unless, I'm sorry, not Wentz, Foles out unless he is not going to be in your team next season. That's all I'm going to say. As a Dolphins fan, I went through this with Ryan Tannehill.
All right, so Justin, let's back up. First of all, it's Wentz, not Foles. Second of all,
my bad.
That's all right. It's no big deal. They're the ones who drafted Hurts, right? Yeah. So the issue is you still need to find out what Hurts is, right? And if Wentz isn't going to be fixed now, like Wentz is an off season project. That's a I got to get the right coach. I got to work with this kid all off season. I got your receivers with him. I got to work and fix his footwork. Like he's a project, and it's not going to happen. I'm not going to fix him during a regular season. So you do want to give Hurts a shot just to see what you have.
I agree, and I don't because, I get you want to see what you have, but we have the prime example as the Dolphins putting out Tua. Our defense has carried Tua this entire season, and we still are keeping him out here to try to force the development on him, and I think it's bringing him back. While, with you guys, for example, I think Wentz is your future. You have so much money in this guy. Unless you trade him, you are...
Yes, but again, it's different than the Dolphins. Wentz is broken. You got to fix him. Just hold on. You're not going to fix him over the last 4 weeks of the season. You're not. You know, that's I got to break him down and rebuild him project.
I agree, but to put Hurts in with what? How many times did Wentz get sacked? Seven?
It's just, six times last night.
It doesn't seem like a great idea. It doesn't seem like it's going to develop.
What are you risking? Tell me what you think you're risking.
If you guys can finish out this season with Wentz, you have a somewhat two-game possibility.
But again, let me stop you. He's not playing well. He's not seeing the field. He can only get worse.
Yeah. So then from that point, I would just say that's where I was going into the last one would be where you guys want to rebuild, if you want to keep him or go. Because, I'm going to compare Dolphins again. We had Tannehill.
Yeah, it's not the Dolphins. It's a completely different situation than Miami, brother. It is. It's apples to oranges, dude.
Yeah, I guess. You're right. But it was 3.5 years of struggles, and you guys are half the season into struggles with him, and it seems like everybody wants him off the boat.
Again, you're right in that they're stuck with him because of the contract, and they have to fix him.
Yeah.
But again, it's so different from where you're standing. Anyway, Justin, it's a pleasure, buddy. Likewise. Be safe, man. I do think that you can glean something from Hurts. I don't know. Let me see what I got. I need to figure out what can he be. And I'm not going to make my end-all, be-all judgment on Hurts, but I'm curious. I got games that are meaningless. I don't think I can help Wentz right now. Though I would probably start Wentz in Green Bay, and then I would think about kind of moving on. All right, you got, what do you got left, 4 or 5?
Five games.
Right. So I started against Green Bay, short week anyway, and then I think about.
And then you got New Orleans.
Right,
the thing is, it's New Orleans and Arizona, so now it's Taysom Hill, so maybe you're okay. I don't know.
Wow, what are you still thinking, playoffs or something?
No, I'm thinking, does it... I don't know. Are you trying to win a game? No, you're probably right. I mean, at that point, yeah, it's at home. Give him a shot.
Man, I mean, I don't know. You want to do the last four games or you want to do the last two games?
Yeah, no, I mean,
either way, listen, you don't do it this week because it's a short week. So you start Wentz. I don't think you can fix him. I don't think that coaching staff can fix him while the season's going on.
Right. Although here's the straight up stupidity, I'll say, of Doug Peterson. We hear all these reports leading up to the game that Jalen Hurts is getting a lot of the first team reps, like a lot more than normal, right? And then they have him out there for two plays. So if you're having Jalen Hurts, you're taking away, not that practice is really helping this team at this point, they're 3-7-1, but you're taking away first team reps as you're game planning for a game. You're taking them away from Carson when you're game planning, and you're having Jalen Hurts to go out there for two plays.
Yeah,
maybe that was Doug Peterson saying, hey, you better play well or we'll put Hurts in. But it's not like Wentz played well yesterday.
No.
He saved two more quarters by driving downfield right before halftime and scored a touchdown.
Well, but again, the first five possessions.
Three and outs.
Were disasters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, dude. I have no concept of what he's trying to do.
My thing has been all season long that Carson Wentz was able to bring them back in games in the fourth quarter. And he clearly wasn't doing that against Cleveland. He wasn't doing it against Seattle last night. So now I'm at the point where I go, you know what? Give Hurts a shot to bring him back in a game. Who knows? Maybe the kid's got stones. Like, what do I know? You're not going to know him just sitting there. And you're not winning anything this year. And yet you're still playing Alshon. You're still playing Jason Peters.
Well, that's the one that really bothers me. I mean, Peters at this point is playing guard, so whatever. But,
give the young kid and Herbig a shot. Like, that's my thing is play the younger guys. All of them.
I mean, Herbig stinks, dude.
He does stink. But I don't think Jason Peters is all that great of a right guard. Like, I'm at the point where you got to give every young guy an opportunity.
Yeah.
To try to see who you have.
But you also need to figure out, like, Herbig, I don't like him a little bit. And you also have to have some credible protection for the quarterback.
Has it been credible at all this year?
Well, but again, I mean, Herbig is horrid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty bad.
So to me.
So is Pryor. So is Sayamalu.
Right.
And they were out there.
So, you know, but again, Peters is better right guard than Herbig is. So whatever. I don't argue over that. But I mean, I just don't understand. Like, Alshon Jeffery is the biggest mystery in the world. Why would he be playing?
How about that pass down the sideline where they kind of blamed Wentz for it?
Yeah.
Because he floated it too deep for Alshon.
Yeah, because Alshon, at this point,
they think Alshon can still move.
It's clocked by a sundial.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it. They said, well, Alshon doesn't run as well as he used to, so Wentz should have thrown it more on a line. Well, Fulgham runs that route. It's probably a catch.
Yep.
With room to run.
That was horrible, man. I mean, it's really unconscionable what they did with this Jeffery. He's terrible. Why would you bend over backwards for Alshon Jeffery? It makes no sense to me. Eagle Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eagle Ed.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
What's happening, Eddie?
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Anthony, have you ever been so mad? Can you remember any time in your life where you got so mad, so angry, till you started to cry?
Yeah, sure.
I got so angry and furious last night until I cried. And I never knew, because, you know, I'm on record. I told you guys at the very beginning of the season, before the season started, 7 wins. So I expected it, but I didn't expect it to be this bad. And the anger, the depression was in the first half of the season. The disappointment started to happen around about maybe the fourth or fifth loss. And now it's getting to the point of rage, to the point where I'm ready to get violent. This team and the makeup of this organization and the lack of identity with this organization, for this organization to be so hung up on analytics, My frustration is now shifted off of Doug Peterson, because we have enough data on him to know what he is already. We have enough data on Howie Roseman to know what he is already. So with this team being so driven with analytics, now I have to start shifting my anger towards Jeffrey Lurie. Because somewhere along the way, you have to grow a pair of stones and you have to say, you know what, I appreciate you for what you've done, Howie Roseman. I know you work hard. I know you're really passionate, but you're just not good enough. The player personnel picks for this organization has been putrid. So I look back at Andy Reid, and I say to myself, has Andy Reid just, like, reinvented the wheel all of a sudden? No, he hasn't. He took away his play-calling abilities when they were, like, with, you know, 2 wins into the season, and he gave it away because he just he understood he just wasn't good enough. So I look at, the gentleman over there and the GM over there in the Jets right now. You know,
Joe
when he
Douglas.
Came over here.
Yes.
Thank you, Joe Douglas. He was supposed to have been a good drafter in Baltimore. He came to Philadelphia, and all of a sudden he just forgot how to draft. Internally, the philosophy within this organization needs to be completely revamped. Because how they view players, how they draft, year after year, drafting in a Pac-10, that's another thing that's really irritating me to no end. I don't know what their obsession is with this drafting in a Pac-10. We never draft guys from Alabama. We never draft guys from Ohio State. We never draft guys from Clemson. Like the SEC, like, we don't draft good players. So I'm trying to understand, what is the mental philosophy and the makeup of this organization? Who are we as a team? You don't draft. I'm not going to beat it to a drum about not drafting a Pro Bowl receiver in 10 years or a corner in 10 years. But you pick up Sidney Jones, who had rupture in Achilles tendon, but you don't pick up DJ Metcalf because he has an injury designation. Well, so did Sidney Jones.
Yeah.
So I go year after year, decade after decade, and I'm watching Donovan McNabb all over again. We killed Donovan McNabb because. And, you know, part of it was his fault. But the other part was he didn't have weapons. He didn't have wide receivers. You finally get a wide receiver in T.O., and we go to the Super Bowl miraculously, right? So, you know, the Philadelphia fan base gets treated like a bunch of loudmouth babbling idiots when we can see things that are clear as day. This is not Sacramento. This is not Southern California. We're not the fan base that we don't know football. We don't study the game. We don't live the game. This is not that type of city. So when Jeffrey Lurie keeps covering for people like Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson, it's a slap in the face to this city. I'm sick and tired of my city being disrespected year after year, decade after decade, with this trash and the philosophy within this organization, and it needs to stop. I don't know what we have to do as a fan base to get it to through Jeffrey Lurie's head, that the philosophy of this organization needs to change. But whether you get Doug Peterson or Chip Kelly or whoever, until the philosophy of this organization changes, it doesn't matter.
I eagle egg.
You should have got.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen.
So
very eloquent, man. Very eloquent. Well, and passionate, and I respect it. And I respect. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, eagle egg. No, I mean, you hear about it. He's so angry. You can hear the remnants of the anger in his voice from last night and the incredulousness. I mean, you know, we talk about the receiver, Rick. You know, it was bad in 04, right? Or up until 04 when T.O. comes. But think about this for a second. At least back then, and it was egregious then, but at least back then, the game was different. The rules didn't overly favor offense.
Yes.
You ran the ball. It was physical. You know, it was football in a lot of ways, like hardcore football. Well, now it's a lot more Saturday. It's a lot more college. It's a lot more. It's all spread. It's receivers. They come in bushels now. Like, you know, guys have two, teams have two studs nowadays. You know, Tampa Bay is an anomaly with three. Kansas City is an anomaly with three. But, you know, most teams have two really good wide receivers. I mean, you know, the Jets, as putrid as they are, they actually have a decent trio of receivers when they're healthy with Crowder and Mims and Perryman. They're actually decent. And that's the Jets, the hapless Jets, these receivers here, and forget about Wentz. Wentz is irrelevant right now to that conversation. It's not an excuse. because he's bad. But these receivers are the worst in football. I mean, who else? Give me receivers that are worse. Jacksonville, better.
Even right? Without Odell Beckham, Cleveland's better. They got Landry.
Yeah.
They're still better than the Eagles.
Higgins.
Yeah.
I mean, these receivers are the worst in football. Washington is McLaren. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants have Slayton.
Yeah, and Giants that may only have one, you at least know that Slayton's a good player. We don't know anything about Rager. We know nothing about him.
In fact, I think he's... My fear is that he's a bust. Like, that's my fear.
That's terrifying.
That he's a bust.
Could you imagine back-to-back years where your wide receiver, your first wide receiver you take is a bust? Arcega Whiteside and then Rager?
He couldn't get separation against that defense. That defense is one of the worst in football in defending the pass.
And then that ball in the end zone that was overthrown, I feel as if a bigger receiver... Dude, that can run like Metcalf and Jefferson.
Go back and listen to our show on Friday of the draft. The draft was held Thursday night. We were on the air Friday. We hated the pick. We only tried to get on board later by giving him a chance because you didn't want to just kill the kid without him playing.
Right.
We hated the second round pick. Mm-hmm. If you go back to our draft coverage, and we have it for you, we hated the selection.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it. I was all about Lamb, Ruggs, then Ruggs went early, and Judy was Judy. And even I was like, well, if Jefferson's there, you got to take Jefferson. I prefer to trade up to get Lamb.
Right.
That was my stance. I didn't think Jefferson would be as good as he is. But Jefferson was the guy to take over Rager. I mean, everybody knew that.
Smartest man in the room syndrome. What they suffer from. A lot of guys there.
Man. Hey, there's a game tomorrow at 3:40 Eastern time. It's the Ravens and the Steelers tomorrow, and you can bet it on Parks tomorrow afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock game on NBC. The midweek Wednesday afternoon football. I love it. Check it out. Parks Casino. Right now, I'm on the app. The Steelers are 10 for tomorrow, so you can check that out. Let's see if the early line is out for the Pack, and it is. Let's see. Green Bay. Any guesses, Andrew?
6.5.
9.
Oh, God.
The Packers on the Park Sportsbook app, 9-point favorites. Check out all they have to offer on the Park Sportsbook app, all the games. Oh, the prop bets, you name it, right there at your fingertips. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download it. Use the promo code FANATIC. Get a risk-free bet to $500. That's code FANATIC. Risk-free bet to $500. You got to be in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you expect to see more out of Hurts tonight, other than those 2 snaps?
I expected to see a little bit more of a plan, not just throw him in there, take him out, and then just go, well, you know what, we put him in there. Because now you haven't seen any of the specialty plays, you haven't seen anything. So it's like, well, what is the plan? What's the plan for this position concerning those 2? You drafted him in the 2nd round. What's the plan?
Thank you, Lewis. And that's what we've been asking about all year long. What's the plan? What is the Eagles' plan? They got no plan. They got no design. My biggest problem with Peterson is that he hasn't had, he had no plan. They have no identity. They don't play smart. 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system. I mean, so we'll hear from Peterson coming up shortly.
He just doesn't think, period. Like, he doesn't think well during a game. But he doesn't think before he speaks at these press conferences.
Be a thinker, not a stinker.
Because how many times,
as Apollo said,
how many times have we heard, oh, well, I'll do a better job rolling Carson out, right? And then we see it happen one time. Like, this is a span of about 6 or 7 weeks now.
I can't even discuss the
rollout.
You're
so right.
It's so absurd. Again, they didn't roll him out until the third quarter.
Yeah, I texted you. I was like, look, Doug finally graduated Harvard. Because he rolled out Carson, and they're running an up-tempo offense at the same time. But not only that, his press conferences this past week, where he did the ridiculous, we're trying to get better today, Carson's our starter today, he also said that Hurts was going to play more. And he had him out there for two snaps.
But, you know, it's funny, because I don't really disagree with him not playing Hurts. But what was he doing wasting time with the ones?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Again, you got to have a plan. Lewis Riddick is right. You got to have a plan. Here's the deal.
He was second and 10. He goes, oh, this would be a good time to do it.
Like,
what?
Right. Like, that's stupid. Like, here's the thing. Either you bring him in and go, like, it's five. When Wentz is 0 for 5 on the first three series. Hey, you want to bring him in? Fine.
You go, this is your drive.
Right. Or do you want to bring him in, I don't know, halftime, right? Now, Wentz brought you down and scored. They kind of lucked out. Maybe that was the plan, you know, which is fine. But you don't need to bring him in middle of a series on a second down.
No.
And then you get a penalty for a false start.
Because the cadence is different. Yeah.
So stupid.
It's an absolute mess.
And that's the point, and that's what people are frustrated about.
And what happened, there was the one weird moment where Hurts goes onto the field and then leaves the huddle with like 9 seconds left on the play clock, and they have to burn a timeout. And the broadcast is saying, well, maybe Wentz's helmet wasn't working, no, I think it was Jalen Hurts ran on the field. Last second, they took him off because they don't know what they're doing.
No.
They have no idea what they're doing with the kid. And now all of a sudden, there's 9 seconds left. You're trying to do a whole new play design. Carson's trying to read the field. He's got to burn a timeout. It's a disaster. With this team.
It is. Complete disaster.
Just give Hurts a series.
Well, but again, do you really want him to have a series?
No, but you can't do it second and 10. You bring him out on the field.
But again, that's why you don't do it unless you just do it.
Right.
Like, the point is you do it when it makes sense. Like, Wentz is struggling. It's halftime. You go, the second half's yours, kid. All right. Well, that wasn't the case. So maybe the following week is the case. I don't know.
Yeah, but part of me thinks...
You don't just bring him in, do it, because then you have... Because I think that's idiotic, too, because then you have two quarterbacks, and that never works. That's like a college system.
It doesn't. My one thing, my one thought is, okay, maybe he goes out there, and they have two or three plays. I'm not saying a full series, like a 9-play drive down the field. I'm saying you start the series when your offense is doing nothing, and you do the stupid read option with Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders, but don't even have Carson on the field. And if you get 4 yards, you hurry up to the line and do some sort of bubble screen just to get Hurts and you're moving around a little bit. And there's his two plays. He comes off the field. Instead of him coming on the field in the middle of a drive, which always seems to take too much time off the play clock, a lot of the times there's a false start or you have to burn a timeout or there's a bad snap. Every time Hurts has gone out there in the middle of the series, something didn't go well.
Yeah, because,
every time.
Because it's not fair to the rest of the
team.
No,
it's not.
To shuffle in a quarterback. It's not fair to Hurts. It's not fair to the kid. Listen, I would have no problem if after the first three series, he went, you know what? I'm giving this to the kid. When they were 0-3 and outs.
Right.
And if he went to Hurts then to start the drive, start the possession, go ahead. But there again, there's got to be a plan. They're 3-7-1, dude. It's a complete disaster. And they should be, think about this for a second. If not for a backup in San Francisco, Mullins.
Yep.
And a backup in Dallas, DiNucci, they got one win. And that one win could have easily been a loss.
If Evan Engram catches it.
It's unreal.
And if Carson doesn't put it perfectly to Scott.
In another parallel universe, they're winless.
Yeah, it's possible. And that tie could have been a loss. They're lucky they came back in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
By the way, DiNucci's trending right now.
What's he trending for?
So Jerry Jones does his weekly hit on a radio station down in Dallas.
Yes, I love that hit.
Yeah, it's great. Remember he told the hosts a few weeks ago to shut up and let him answer the question?
Yeah.
Well, he was asked about Denver and the challenges they faced. Denver, obviously, the four quarterbacks in the QB room all were exposed to COVID, so they had to call up Kendall Hinton out of Wake Forest. A buddy of mine went to Wake Forest, so he was really excited to watch him complete like six passes or less than that. But Jerry Jones was asked about those kinds of challenges, and he said it wasn't any more of a challenge than when the Cowboys had to start Ben DiNucci against the Eagles. He said Ben DiNucci is basically a practice squad wide receiver. He's not even giving him the
quarterback title.
He's going practice squad wide receiver on Ben DiNucci.
Wow.
Poor guy. Guy's probably just driving in to work today. You know he's not playing. He's just driving in. Practice.
What are you going to do?
And he's being called a practice
you
squad receiver
cry
by
for
the
ben
owner.
DiNucci? I can't cry for Ben DiNucci. I can cry for myself.
Okay.
Having to watch this direct of a team and just it. And again, we got to deal with another news conference coming up, and you know he's got no answers. I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll hear.
Does he drop a bomb that Hurts is the starter?
Who knows? Short week, I kind of doubt it, but.
Oh, he ran a lot of reps with the first team.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah.
And he ran two plays.
Dude, I love you. I don't know. I have no answers. I go back to the same thing. And I got to say this, and then we're going to go right back to the phones. But I had a guy who I trust immensely. A very sharp guy. One of these wisdom guys.
Yeah.
And he said, listen. You better get ready. If you're Jeffrey Lurie, you got to strike quickly. You have 5 short weeks. If you're going to get a new coach and a new GM in here, you got 5 short weeks. Because here's the deal. If you want Bieniemy or you want Spags, right? Well, those guys, the interview process is limited because of the playoffs.
Right. Good point.
And COVID. And he goes, think about the jobs that could be open. My wisdom guy says Atlanta, definitely, obviously. Houston, already. Detroit, already. New York, most likely. Jacksonville, yes. So all those teams, those 5 teams are going to have openings. Then you got maybe Chicago, maybe Denver, maybe Minnesota, maybe Cincinnati. It's a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of competition.
And you can look at L.A., too, the Chargers. All right, Anthony Lynn's still out there. What has he done?
Well, he's got a first-year quarterback.
Yeah, that's given him leads, and he's missed a defense and has blown.
Yeah, but Bosa was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, again, I'm not in L.A. and following the Chargers daily, so, you know, I just hear that. I heard that he is got half a clue. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
It's a good start.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
That they weren't crushing them. So, I don't like Gaze. Like, I got people telling me Gaze, like, that they never even understood Gaze. And by the way, Gaze was Jeffrey Lurie's number one choice.
Oh, for Doug.
Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. Well, this call ain't going to make you feel any better. DK Metcalf had 10 catches last night for 177 yards. J.J. Whiteside in his career has 12 catches for 214. The ineptitude of this offense couldn't get 10 yards. They're an NFL offense, 10 yards till midway through the second quarter, and one of those series was only 5 yards. And I guess my final point quickly is like a root cause analysis of what's wrong with this team. If Carson Wentz gets cut, he'll get another job in the NFL. If Doug Peterson gets fired, he will probably get another job in the NFL. We can debate whether he should or shouldn't, but he would.
I don't know. I don't know that that's true.
Okay, but if Howie Roseman gets fired, there's no team in the NFL that's going to hire him as a general manager. None at all. Zero. Zero chance of that happening. This is a guy that said they want to be a quarterback factory. That's a college term for recruiting. It's not an NFL term. It's a, the reason college teams say that is they want players to come to their school because they know that if it's a quarterback factory, yeah, a linebacker factory.
No, you're
factory,
right. Listen, I agree with you. You're right.
The NFL.
You're right.
There is, this guy is not bad. He's delusional, Howie Roseman. Why? You had the asset, which was a second-round pick. Why do you need to trade a quarterback to get more assets? It makes fundamentally no sense. None.
Right. It's so not like years in the years past, right, when you took A.J. Feely in the fourth or fifth round,
right,
those type of guys, yep, develop it. You turn a fourth or fifth rounder into a second rounder. That's what they tried to do with Sudfeld. That makes sense, but you're right. A second round pick is already an asset, and that, and by the way, you need to use the assets now to build your team.
Correct. So unless you get rid of Howie, it won't matter what you do with your coach and your quarterback.
But here's my plan, though. But here's my plan. Because I think both of them are cooked. Neither of them had any answers. I blow them out. I clean house. I bring a coach in, and that coach is my CEO. There's no more,
yep,
the general manager and this guy who needs to. Because here's the problem with these GMs.
Right.
They need to prove that they're smarter than the coach. Right? The only thing they got going for them is they pick players.
Right.
Right? So well, by nature of that job, unless they're, you know, a right, Daryl Morey type, right? Unless they're those kinds of guys, they're going to be in competition with the coach. Like, oh, I'm the one.
I wouldn't let Howie Roseman do my taxes, let alone run my football team. He's a disaster. Have a great day, guys.
All right, buddy. Take it easy. I think, again, you need to have a coach come in, and he's got to be the CEO. He's the guy. He hires the personnel department. Revamps the whole thing. He hires everybody. You want your analytics? He'll hire his analytic people. He will listen to himself. He'll get data from everybody. He'll get info from everybody. He hires his coaches. I mean, that's how it's got to work. It just has to. It's got to work this way. Andrew, I'm really...
Are you expecting at this point, like, big turnover? I'm still kind of okay, scared that it's just a Schwartz scapegoat kind of thing.
You can't just fire Schwartz. And by the way, you can argue, as much as we hate his scheme, you can argue he's the most competent of anyone left. Right or wrong?
Yeah. I would say, I mean, look,
who's more competent?
They did well yesterday.
Schwartz or Peterson?
I know, Schwartz. I mean, Schwartz still drives me
Schwartz or
insane.
Howie. I know. I'm not telling you. You know how I feel. I hate his scheme. But if you're gonna just talk about competency, I mean,
he's kept Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, to, you know, 23-17-17. It's pretty good last three times they face each other. Now, there's some games where we go nuts, right? Nate Gary 1-on-1 with Chase Claypool. That can't happen. But, he didn't draft some of these linebackers. He didn't draft Davion Taylor, I'm sure. That was Howie. Hey, look, I'm a genius.
You know.
Let me take this guy with speed.
Well, but and again, that's what you have to ask yourself. That's why. Now, I did not believe that was possible until the last 4 weeks. Until after, when they came out again, look, I thought after the bye, they would come out strong with a plan.
Yes.
They look worse, right?
You're spot on.
So ever since then, I went, huh? And then the Jeff McClain story that popped while we were on vacation with Thanksgiving over the holiday, that was damning. Him not going to Cleveland, and inside the report was that Jeffrey has left practice disgusted.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's missing this game for the first time in his tenure, That includes Chip Kelly? Well, now I'm starting to think otherwise. Maybe he will make a change.
Right.
Let's go to these streets, deep in these streets, with BG, Black Gritty. Black Gritty!
The streets is on fire because, you know, it was cute last night. Alshon started running in pregame and he finally got open by the third quarter and Carson was so shocked he overthrew him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like one of the little wind-up toys that you got to, like, you know what I'm saying? You get the little slide button.
I mean, when you run as, when you run as slow as Alshon Jeffrey, even Wentz can be excused for overthrowing you.
Oh, my goodness. Like, again, the whole team is just bad. But the thing I keep telling you that you always keep pushing me back on is Doug is a child that isn't allowed to play with his own toys. Alshon shouldn't be on the field. Fulton's regressing. No, Fulton's not getting snaps anymore. And when he does get on the field without Jeffries, he caught two passes. Oh, imagine that. Because Carson's been told, get Alshon the ball. On the first drive, you get gifted a first and five. And
Carson's
you don't run the ball
been
one
told
time.
By... Carson's been told by whom?
By his coach, who has been told by Howie Roseman, because Howie Roseman has to have his people out here that he paid and he drafted on the field, because that's the way it goes. And yeah, you don't believe that.
That you actually believe that Peterson is being directed to get Jeffrey the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's criminal.
Criminal. No, first of all, there's not a coach alive that would accept that.
Brett Brown accepted losing for like 10 years and put that on his record. So people do accept things.
No. That's completely different. That's completely different. Come on.
I'm just saying
what NFL coach is going to go, yeah, I'm being directed to get that guy the ball. I mean, come on,
the kind of coach that lets the kind of coach that lets a lineman walk into his office and tell him where he's playing and not where he's supposed to be at, where he got hired to be at. That kind of guy. That kind of guy, bless his heart, that he's
bless
out here
his
doing
heart.
Herbert, that's what he said today on the other station when he did his little interview. He's like, bless Jason Peters' heart for trying for us, and, you know, just kissing his butt all up and down. You know, you don't see it. I see it that way, and it's fine that you don't, but I'm just saying.
It's not about seeing anything. I see ineptitude is what I see.
I see ineptitude
from the GM's office. I see ineptitude from the coach's office.
Up and down the line. So let me just say one more thing.
Sure.
Your boy Herbert on the last drive was in, and Jason Peters was out. Again, we have another game where the coach doesn't kick a field goal. I don't understand. But the biggest problem is Howie Roseman. I just want to read this list off to you, then I can say goodbye. Hold on, watch this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rager, 11 yards. Hurts, 2 snaps. Taylor, 0 defensive snaps. Wallace, 0 defensive snaps. Driscoll, 1 snap. Hightower, 1 yard. Bradley, 0 defensive snaps. Dillard is out, but, you know, we didn't really believe in him because he didn't believe in himself. Sanders gets 15 yards because he's improperly used. And Daniel Thigel Whiteside, you know, he's not playing. Sharif Miller, 0 snaps. Clayton Thorson, who I don't even know, never touched the field. Like, I'm looking at lists online, and I'm just like, oh, Howie Roseman, yeah, you better pack up, bro. You see that last night? He was back there packing up early last night, brother. Hey, scorched earth in these streets, brother. Fire everybody. Hurtson. I want to see Hurtson.
Scorch these streets.
I want to see it. I want to see if he can save Doug's job. Because, like you said, we don't know. Everybody keeps saying, I don't know. So if it is Carson, to put Hurtson, I want to see it. Let's see it.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I want to see it. And who knows? Maybe they are better. But that doesn't excuse the way Peterson has coached this team. His decision making. Why would you pass up a field goal when you need a 3 and an 8?
God bless the announcers last night because they torched Philadelphia. They did a great job.
Three.
Carson Sanders last night led in rushing. So, yeah, put Hurts in. He's going to be running for his life, too. He'll probably look good.
I hear you, BG.
We'll see. Talk to you, brother.
See you, brother. I feel you. We'll hear from Doug coming up next.
I think we should play some Doug Bingo.
Okay. I'm in.
It's going to be...
Natalie in.
I'm in.
I got to do a better job.
I'm going to hate play today.
All right. Cool. So, all right. I got to do a better job.
It's not just one guy.
All right. How many size? I'll go over under 6 size.
I'll go over. I'm going to take the over. Okay. Yeah, I got the over.
Yeah, that's a stone over. Because even just the
six?
Those, yeah, that's an over. A lot.
What if I make it eight?
I might still go over.
I would still go over, too.
Because he's going to get hit heavy with the Hurts stuff.
All right, let's go eight size. How many deep size?
Two.
I'm going to say five.
Wow. All
right. Right?
Pay for Doug.
All right. He's the Psy guy.
You see that eye roll last night?
Yeah, that was a good eye roll.
Oh, I was dying.
Yeah. He's good at that. It's his best attribute. All right.
That's about it.
You don't want to miss this. That's next. Cuz Radio Tunis, Natalie's here. All right, Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, first, I got to tell you a little bit about engagement rings because it is getting close to the holiday season. We just had Thanksgiving. I'm sure a lot of people popped the question then. Yesterday was the first anniversary for me and the wife. So now's the best time for me to tell you all about engagement rings, and there's no better time to pop the question to the special woman in your life than around the holidays, and there's no better place to get that perfect ring than Family Company Jewelers. When I got engaged, Angela and the team at Family Company Jewelers helped calm my nerves. I was shaking like crazy when I walked in there, but I walked out of there with a ring that I know she couldn't say no to. Trust me, if you're looking to get engaged, Family Company should be your only stop this holiday season, and it's for a good cause, too. You got to support these local businesses during the tough time. Visit Family Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, online at familyjewelers.com. That's Family Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up? 12:30. Peterson Press Conference coming up. And the Monday Press Conference brought to you by Corbelese Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie. Andrew, one more. How many times does Dub bring up? He was a football player in the league. He was a quarterback. How many times does he invoke his own playing career?
I don't think he does that today.
Oh, I'll set it at two. So you got the under.
Yeah, I got the under.
All right. Well, I think for sure he brings that up. That's one of his favorite crutches that he played in the league.
You're right. We should do a bingo board one day for Doug's isms. Yep. Doug isms. Mm-hmm. I got some stuff for you as we wait. Doug Peterson's day after press conference. Do you want the one by Jeremy Fowler's a little bit longer? So we'll get to that.
That's
one coming up.
The Carson Wentz contract.
No. He spoke with people around the league
about Wentz, right?
About Wentz.
Yeah, and he talks about the contract.
Yeah, but it's also not as like it's more of a blame of the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. He spoke to other players around other coaches around the league.
Okay.
You know what? Here's Doug, but I got one from you from an old friend, Orlando Scandrick.
Oh, wow.
When we talked with you last night, you talked about the change of pace. That's why that you were rotating back and forth between Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz for a couple of snaps. But we only saw Jalen for a few of those snaps. I'm curious why we didn't see more of that rotation and if we will see more of that rotation in the future.
Well, as you guys watched the game, and of course, as we were, living it out real time, one of the things for us to, I guess, to use any of our personnel, and then in this case, we're talking about Jalen and Carson. For me, it's about getting in a rhythm, getting into the flow of the game, getting in a consistent flow where. We're positive on first down, which that particular sequence, I believe the first down, first and 10 was right before the second quarter. It was, then it became a second down play, second and 10 actually went with Jalen. We had a false start, went to second 15. We threw a pass to Alshon that was, a short route, wasn't was supposed to be a little bit deeper, went a little bit short. It was complete. Now we're 3rd and 8, I believe, and went back to Carson on 3rd down. You know, and it's just, it's kind of how the whole first quarter and a half went for us. Just no rhythm. And so for me, would I like to get into a flow and use Jalen, you know, in a couple of situations? I think it's feasible. I think it's possible. It's been productive for us. But our first and second down production has to be better.
Go ahead, John, and then Zach.
Hey, good morning, Doug. To kind of follow up on that, and you talked about flow and rhythm. You played quarterback for a long time. Just your personal philosophy, you know, if you were playing and somebody pulled you off for a couple plays, how would that affect you in getting into that flow and rhythm?
Well, it happened to me back in 1999. And so I have firsthand experience of that. And you know, my philosophy is we do whatever it takes to spark the offense. You do whatever it takes to, you know, win a football game, be successful. And look, I mean, I know it may, people may think it's different and you can't get a guy into a rhythm or whatever, but you know, when you struggle as an offense, you're looking for ways to create some plays, and the struggles we had last night weren't from the quarterback position. It was a bunch of mistakes from all positions that you know, caused us to not be as successful. But as far as the rotation goes, you'd like to be in a little more of a rhythm. If it were Jalen in there, maybe he goes a couple plays in a row, you know, and obviously if Carson's in there, he takes the bulk of the action. So they're both professionals. They understand and expect nothing less.
Zach, and then Les.
Hey, good afternoon, Doug. On the topic of play calling, in the past, when we've asked you about those responsibilities, you've been resistant to giving them up. Is that still your position, or have you considered allowing a different coach to call plays as a way to try to spark the offense?
Zach, that's such a harsh question, man. You said use the word resistant.
Well, because when we've asked
I take
you,
pride in play calling.
What's that?
Yeah, oh, I know. I take pride in play calling and you know, I look at everything. I got to take everything into consideration, and if I feel like if I get stuck or in a rut, I definitely would consider giving that up. So that's it's definitely on the table. I wouldn't say that's off the table, but that's also part of sparking the offense and maybe seeing the offense through somebody else's eyes.
Go ahead, Les, and then Jeff McClain.
Hi, Doug. Speaking of sparking the offense, I think the thing that a lot of fans struggle with, I was rewatching the game just now, 20 minutes into the game, you had 4 yards of offense. You know, I know you guys work really hard all week and plan and, you know, you're competent people. Why? What is going on that this happens?
You know, it's honestly a really good question, and I struggle with the whys, and you know me, I'm not going to sit here and throw people under the bus, and we can do that during the week of preparation and practice, and guys just have to understand the sense of urgency that it takes, you know, to play a game and to prepare, not only coaching, but also players, you know, prepare. It's a long season. The season's a grind, and it's a tough sport mentally and physically, and probably more so mentally than anything else. And it's frustrating because we do prep and practice and study and meet all week long, and coaches spend countless hours putting game plans together and trying to, you know, somehow come up with a plan that can beat your opponent. And then when whether it's execution or sometimes physically just get beat, you know, it's, it's a frustrating thing. And it's something that we have got to, again, if it goes back to simplifying game plans, we can keep simplifying as much as we can. To, you know, we got a lot of moving parts. We've got a lot of moving pieces, particularly in the offensive line. And I alluded to that a little bit this morning on the phone. You know, that continuity and the stability, and you know, that's also been an issue with us. And some young players on the perimeter, new targets that Carson and you know is throwing to. So we're definitely not where we want to be. That's for sure. And we're going to continue to work to improve.
Thank you,
Jeff, and then Tim.
Doug, were you on board with the Jalen Hurts draft pick when it happened?
Yes, I was. Why?
Well, so, because I'm wondering, because it hasn't really exactly played out the way you guys originally, at least the way that Howie originally said that he would be utilized on offense, and it seems to have undermined you to some extent and Carson Wentz.
No, I don't understand where you're coming from. You know, because we, you know, every year we look at quarterbacks. Every year if we have an opportunity to take a quarterback, we're going to take a quarterback. At least look at the position. I mean, every position is looked at and studied, and wherever we can help and add talent and depth, you know, we're going to do that. And the quarterback position is not exempt from that. And you know, this is a sport where there's only one quarterback that plays, and Carson is that player right now. And we go to work, and you know, we continue to coach Jalen, and we get him prepared if he has to go in and play.
Go ahead, Tim, and then Dave.
Doug, as you know, when teams go and you know start losing, the issue of job security you know comes up. I have a two-part question for you. First, have you received assurances that you'll be able to see through this season as head coach?
I haven't been reassured one way or the other, no.
Okay. And the second part is, you know, do you feel like you're, you know, the way that things are going, that your job is in jeopardy, you know, at least following the season?
You know, listen, I've been around this league a long time, 25 years, I believe, as a player and a coach. And you know, we're always based on and we're evaluated on our performance. And right now, that's obviously not my concern as far as that decision goes. That's out of my hands. But what's in my hands and in my control is getting the team prepared and ready for Green Bay this weekend. So, you know, I'm not going there mentally. You know, I'm looking forward to playing again this week, getting back on the grass tomorrow with the players and getting ready for Green Bay.
Dave and then Bo.
Hey, Doug, along those lines, there's been some reports of mounting frustration from ownership. Curious what your interactions have been like recently with Jeffrey, and how much pressure are you feeling from the very top of the organization?
Our relationship is good. We have a lot of we communicate, you know, a lot throughout the week. We have our, you know, our typical, you know, weekly meeting and cover a lot of ground. But that relationship is good. And you know, hey, listen, some of these questions might be for Mr. Lurie, obviously. But you know, look, my job is to prepare the team and get ready for Green Bay.
Oh, and then Rob.
Along those lines, Doug, has Jeffrey weighed in on the state of the quarterback position and how to handle that for the rest of the season?
No, he hasn't. You know, and that, again, that's my decision. You know, as the head football coach and make a lot of personnel decisions, but this one is my decision if and when we make that change. But right now, we're not doing that.
Robin, then James.
Hey, Doug, we've heard you take blame for what's happening. We've heard players take blame and ownership for what's happening. In your conversations with Jeffrey Lurie, how much responsibility has the front office taken for the personnel decisions that have contributed to you guys being in this position?
Rob, in you know, those conversations are private. I'm not going to get into that. This is not the time, you know, or the place to really get into those types of conversations.
Go ahead, Jamie, and then Mark.
Doug, you're always very optimistic with your team, as you should be. And as a guy who takes a lot of pride in the offense and your play calling, and a guy who's been a quarterback in this league for so long, you said, I can sense that it's really frustrating for you to not have the answers on how to fix the offense. Can you describe that frustration? Because it that's what it feels like.
You know, I've been around a long time, and the only way to fix the frustrations and to get out of and underneath this cloud that we're in or under, quite frankly, is to just continue to go to work and practice hard and continue to show on tape, you know, whether the good, the bad, mistakes that are being made, make those corrections. And I mean, we've got a left tackle that this is basically, you know, football's new to him, right? He's learning how to play this game, and a right tackle that doesn't have a ton of experience, but he's played and he's learning how to play the game. And gosh, we took, you know, an all pro left tackle, and he's given of himself to play right guard. And I mean, there's young people on the outside, and you know, it's not perfect, by no means. And we have to continue to work. And that's the only way I know how. There is no magic football play. There's no magic defense or special teams, or it's a matter of just going to work, you know, during the week and climbing yourself out of it. And everybody has to take ownership of it. You know, myself, to the coaches, to the players. That's the only way I know how to fix it, and work ourselves out of it.
Martin and then Ed.
Hey, Doug. A little earlier you said that you would consider giving up play calling if you felt like you were in a rut. Do you feel that way, that you're in a rut right now? And also, do you think Carson is salvageable? What are you seeing as far as being wrong with him?
On the play calling front, no, I don't necessarily feel like I'm in a rut right now. I think that, as I said earlier, things are still on the table. And if I feel like I ever get to that spot, then I would consider, you know, for a game, a half or whatever, you know, let somebody else do that. If that helps us win. And Carson, you know, again, Sal, that's a strange word. Yes, I do. I think that he's willing, he's wanting to fix not only the issues with him, but with the team and with the offense. And, you know, he's one of the hardest workers we got, and we're going to work through it. We're going to battle through it. We're going to keep, you know, coaching and coaching hard and being accountable to one another and working ourselves out of it.
We'll wrap it up with Ed and then Nick.
Hi, Doug. Just why the hesitation to not at least give Jalen at least one series? You took him out on the 3rd and 8. Why not let him see if he can kind of play his way through that? The team didn't have a first down to that point. Why go back to Carson in that situation?
That was just my decision at the time, honestly. That's it. That was my decision. I mean, I could sit here and look back on, I'm not going to hypothetical, and I'm not going to say it would have made a difference, but that was my decision.
Hi, Doug. I know you guys have been frustrated with the things that you've done on offense that have kind of set you back behind the chains, the false starts and penalties and whatnot. But there was a time where, you know, you guys were able to overcome things like that. You know, 3rd and long seemed to be like Carson Wentz's wheelhouse. It's not really that way anymore. Can you win with such a small margin for error?
Not right now. We can't. We can't be making these mistakes week in and week out and expect to win. I will say this, and no one's ever, you guys aren't even, you know, talking about how well the defense played, you know, last night with the two huge couple of red zone stops and all of that. And really how well they played to keep us, you know, keep us in this football game and still had, you know, an opportunity, you know, whether it be an onside kick or you make the fourth and four, whatever it is, you have an opportunity to still maybe pull out that football game. So, you know, I know everybody's enamored with offense and you know, as probably they should be, but this is a team sport. And, you know, we've got to be cohesive in all three phases and, you know, play complementary football. And that's really something all season that we have not done.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everybody.
All right, there it was, the Dougie P News Conference brought to you by Corbelly's Bakery, the home of the great tomato pie. You know, here's my takeaway. He sounded wounded. He sounded like I felt sorry for him. I mean, we react to the press conferences live, and we hone in on every word. And I got to tell you, I took pity on him. It doesn't mean that I think, you know, that he's competent. I just feel bad for him.
Yeah, he's defeated.
I mean, he sounds like he's got no answers. And even when he talked, like, he doesn't want to give up the play calling. He was asked about it three different times. And, like, he wanted to be cocky about it. He could say it. And right. Then he was like, all right, well, let me take a step back. Like, that's a harsh question. What do you mean it's a harsh question? Dude, you're terrible. You went 5-3 and outs. Well, that's a legitimate question to ask about the play calling. But he doesn't want to do that. You know, even then, I don't feel like I'm in a rut. Well, if 5-3 and outs, and you never move the ball in your first possession, you just lost big chunks of the game. If that's not a rut, I don't know what a rut is.
Yeah, you've scored 17 points in each of the last 3 weeks. 17.
Yeah, I mean,
it's average, you know, 30 plus.
Whole notion of, you know, we you know, it's a team sport, and look how good the defense played. Yo, dude. Sorry,
man. He tried spinning that.
Come on, man. That's just horrible. Again, I just felt more, you know, I felt pity for the dude. You know, I shouldn't because
I hear you.
The guy, you know, has made a lot of money and he'll be fine. He'll always go down as a guy who won a Super Bowl. So, you know,
by the way, good life. Speaking of the Super Bowl, so you're in there. I got the, because everything's Zoom now, right? Yeah. So I got the Zoom in here. He's at his house today because, you know, they're not having practice right. The day after and because of COVID restrictions. So he did the Zoom in his house. And what was glowing, shining right behind Dougie P? During his press conference, the Lombardi Trophy.
Hey, you know what? God bless, man. Listen, go for him. If I had it, I'd do the same thing.
You want me to give up play calling?
Right.
I look behind my shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Whatever you got to do. Problem is, that doesn't fix the current situation.
No.
So, that Super Bowl trophy, it's just that. It's a symbol of a great time. But a symbol of the past. No answers for the present. Your takeaways next. All right, let me tell you about NJ Diet, because you know what? Being overweight might not be your fault. You might have hormone imbalances. Now, this is what NJ Diet, this is why they're amazing. This is an amazing, amazing program. They use your hair and saliva samples along with their bioenergetic scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements that will balance your hormones, where the side effect is weight loss. With NJ Diet, you will shed a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's the side effect. That's incredible, right? But here's the deal. NJ Diet uses DNA testing to determine your ideal diet, your workout regimen, and specific needs for essential vitamins, plus many more metabolic factors. So it's great you lose it, but now you keep it off. NJ Diet's all natural. There's no shots, no hormones, no surgery. Full supervision is provided every step of the way. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet. It's available worldwide with live online video consultations. Or you can go to one of their locations close by Cherry Hill, Princeton. Call now, 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com to lose the weight for good. That's njdiet.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. You know what's amazing is that the Peterson press conference are the best because they elicit all kinds of responses. So here, you know, without putting people out there, here's some of the responses. Oh, come on, Doug. Don't give me the poor Doug routine now. How about this one? Bleep him in his forlorn act. What? I didn't think I'd ever hear that from him. He sounds like he's given up and has no clue what to do. LOL, laugh out, bleeping loud. All right.
Doug's not in a rut, though. He told you that.
Right.
He said if he's in a rut, he'll consider giving it up for a half.
He went puppy dog today. Like, you got to feel sorry for me,
yes,
man.
Yes, he did.
And listen, I took the bait. Like, I listened to his voice, and quite frankly, I took the bait. But here's the thing. Jeffrey Lurie needs to act swiftly when this season ends. He's asked to have a plan right now. He has to answer one fundamental question. Can Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson, and those two are tied at the hip, can they fix it? And if the answer is no, then I need to act swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I need a plan in place when the season comes to an end. The season draws near. I can't be sentimental. I can't think about Super Bowls. I just need to answer the fundamental question. Can these men fix it? And if you come to the conclusion the answer is no, then you got to move quickly because there's going to be a lot of jobs like there is every year, and there's the big candidates. You got playoffs. You better have your ducks in order.
Yep.
And you better figure this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm hearing is I hear no answers, and I hear a lot of like, well, you know, we got to work.
We come in here every day. You know, coaches prep hard.
Listen, you're not unique that you work hard.
Right.
You know, everybody works hard. All right. So, you know, you get no points for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work. The only people say that is somebody's got no answers. And again, it's sad, but it is what it is. And it's Jeffrey Lurie. There's no room for sentimentality.
Right.
You got to fix the franchise. Or else this thing, you're going to waste a whole nother year next year, you know.
So
and then it just prolongs and prolongs. Go ahead.
Before the press conference, I was talking to you about old friend Orlando Scandrick. And it was about a year ago, right, when he made those comments, and then the Eagles actually went on to win some games and get into the playoffs.
Right, and they shoved it up his nose.
Yeah, so he was on that stupid show again with that guy I won't even name, and Shannon Sharp, because I actually like him. And he kind of went on a rant about Howie. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
He's guaranteed $25.4 million next year in the form of $15.4 million in salary, $10 million in a guaranteed roster bonus. From a business perspective, I mean, we can bench him. We can. He's been awful. He has 95 off-target completions, most in the NFL. He leads the NFL in sacks. He's been sacked 46 times. He leads the NFL in interceptions. He's thrown 15 interceptions, if my notes are right. Okay. Now, you can bench Wentz, fire Dougie P, but you still got the same little weasel snake picking the players. He's been god awful. You say Wentz doesn't have any help. Well, how is he supposed to have help if we draft JJ Arcega-Whiteside over DK Metcalf?
True.
Then we go in the offseason and we say Wentz still doesn't have any help. And then we draft Jalen Reagor, a guy who was a punt returner. He was basically known for being a punt returner at TCU over
Jefferson.
What is his name? I'm sorry, Jefferson. You were a hell of a player. I'm sorry. And I just think it's time to blow the whole thing up. Blow it all up. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Give him his Super Bowl ring. Give him all his little pats on the back and call him a nice Uber XL and get him on out of there.
Well, he's not wrong with a lot of stuff he said.
Now he's got personal beef with Howie because he got cut during the season last year.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. But, you know, I mean, it's nothing that we haven't said. So he just aired it because he's got a beef.
Yeah, call him a weasel.
Yeah, well, you know, that same weasel compared to play. And the weasel, man. What do you call the weasel?
Yeah, it's not good.
That sucks, man. You know, it's one thing. There's a lot of names, but weasel.
Well, weasel and rat are in the same. Yeah. You know, they're the same area.
Yeah. Weasel. Weasel's way worse than rat.
I think you're right.
You're a weasel. That's terrible. Let's get to the phone line. Back to the phones. Barry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Barry.
Hey, man. How you doing?
What's happening?
Oh, man, I was just wondering about, I was listening to Ray Denger and them. They was, like, talking about Carson Wentz yesterday, Eagles post-game live.
Yeah, buddy.
Like the receivers aren't getting open a lot of times, but sometimes even, so when they do get open, even Carson Wentz misses them then.
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, even the easy passes he can't make, like a little swing route, a little swing out screen.
Yeah, he's a mess right now.
It's like, yeah, I don't know, man. What do you think? Like, I don't even know.
I think he's a mess. Right? I mean, right now he's a complete mess. He needs to be rebuilt, right? Like broken down, and then you got to rebuild the dude. That's the way you have to attack it. And it's not going to happen during the season. That's an off season project. You got to get, first of all, they got to at least, if they don't fire Peterson, they got to at least get real quarterback people and their coaches and offensive coordinator. You got to get offensive people to work with this dude and fix all his problems.
Yeah, when I was watching the game last night, when he threw that interception in the end zone, I just turned the channel, man. I started watching the news.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Hail Mary, you talking about the end of the game?
Yeah, the one where him and Goddard weren't on the same
team. Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
I was like, man, I texted my friend. I said, that's it, game over.
Yeah. Why would you go for it, Barr, in that situation? Why don't you just kick the field goal? You're two scores down. You're down 11 points. There's 8 and change left in the game. I don't understand this guy sometimes.
I think that last night, my opinion on that question is that I think he was in jeopardy of his job, and he was trying to just do anything to win because I think that he knows that they know upstairs that they want him to win, and he's not winning right now.
Yeah, you're afraid. You got to play it by the book and play it smart, right? You got to take the three, and then, you know, then maybe, who knows, you get the ball back like they did, and now all of a sudden you're driving to try to tie the game.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. Man. And then one last question. So they were saying, like, they might just give him, like, they were saying that Jeffrey Lurie might say, well, look, I'll just take, like, the COVID-19 and everything this year. It's a bad 2020 and all, and he'll give Doug Peterson. They say maybe he might give Doug Peterson another chance next year. Man, I hope he don't. It'll be a sad season, man.
Right, because now all of a sudden you're going to waste another year. Like, if you come to the listen, if he comes to the conclusion, Barry, that Doug and Howie can figure it out. I don't know how he'd do that, but if he does, then so be it. He believes they can fix it. Otherwise, you got to make a move. You can't be, oh my God, it's COVID. I mean, I hear a million excuses out of the guy today. He was filled. Young players, offensive line, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's going through the same thing.
Yeah, he just looked at like you could read right through him. Like, man, he don't even like. It's like he feel like it looked like he's like, man, I don't even know. Maybe I'm done. Maybe I'm gonna get fired. Or he just was answering the questions like nonchalant. Like,
yeah, he also was making a lot of excuses.
Yeah, a whole lot. And like they get paid so much money, like Carson Wentz, like they were saying, like Russell Wilson, he doesn't even have really a good line, but he makes it work sometimes. He makes it work.
Without a doubt.
Carson Wentz can't even make it work. Like he tried last
night. He was a Magoo. Like he didn't see, he can't see the field.
And then my one last thing I want to say to you guys, thanks for listening to me. Yeah. They brought Jalen Hurts in for two plays. The first play, they called the offside, so he ran the second play and threw a nice pass. Then you take him out and you put Carson Wentz back in. Like, you
know. Yeah, well, I know. They need to come up with a plan. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. They need to come up with a plan. And he was asked that a million times. He doesn't know what to do. He heard him. Well, Carson, blah, 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 blah. He doesn't know what to do. You got to give the dude after you go 3-3 and outs, I'm thinking, all right, we'll give the kid a shot. Or give the kid a shot in the second half. Or, well, give the kid a shot for a game. I mean, there's a million different ways to do it. But you got to come up with a plan. And just haphazardly going a play here or a play there isn't going to cut it. At some point, you got to figure, all right, am I done? Is this playoff thing just a farce? It could be the last two games. I mean, my guess is at some point, they'll come to the realization that Hurts gets a start. Maybe it's two, maybe it's three.
What'll be curious to find out is, last week he started running first team reps, right? And then he goes out there for two whole plays. Is it this week of practice? Does Hurts get first team reps again? Or do you dial it back because you took away from the reps for Carson, who's obviously been a mess all season long? And if you're not going to play the kid anyway, then why give him first team reps?
Well, the other issue too is, what's the role of the owner? Because there was a story that the owner was pushing
Hurts.
So what's that? What's the role of that? What's his role there? I mean, there's some issues to be discussed, but you need to have, you got to have a plan. Not just throwing him in there on second down. Then you get a penalty. Why? It's easy to figure that out.
Right.
You got a makeshift line, and then you're switching the quarterback in the middle of the second down. What kind of sense that make?
None. It's dumb.
Yeah. Let's go to Jay. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Ant, what's going on, big bro?
How you doing, man? What's going on with you?
Nothing. I'm good, man. You know, I had to call in today. I didn't really get to listen too much, so I may touch on some things that people was talking about.
Go ahead, brother. You know that.
But, I think they got a clean house, starting with Howie, because, it's clear, he just don't know what he's doing. He's too smart for himself. When players that you can clearly see you need to get, he won't get them. He'll get other players. So you got to get him up out of there or whatever. And, with regards to Doug, man, I just think, personally, like, you got to get rid of him, because him and Carson is just not as bad as Carson is playing. I just feel like they're not a good match for each other right now. Like, mm-hmm. It's clear Wentz not his guy. Like, I think he liked Wentz, but that's not who he wants, I believe, personally. If you think I'm wrong, you could definitely touch base with the guy.
I mean, listen, I don't think he's got any answers on how to fix Wentz.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people saying, get rid of Wentz and stuff like that. I don't agree with that. You got the money side, and I think you got to give it a shot with some coaches. And, Doug need to give up the play calling, but I just think he got to go. He's a good dude and all that, but it's clear, like, you just see it. Like, he don't want to coach here. He don't want to be here. You can just see it, like, last night, the way he coached that game, there's no way you could tell me he knew what he was. I ain't understand it. That 4th and 4, when your defense is playing good, you go for it, and it's like putting Hurts in there for one. Either you gonna play the dude or you not. Like, you got to make a decision, man.
I agree. I think you're right on, man.
Yeah, man. So it's just crazy. So I just think if they feel like, which I do, the season is done. I think you need to get a young boy a shot, let him see what he can do. And like you said, end of the year, you got to clean it up. Either if you want to keep Doug, which I don't think you should do, You got to get some coordinators in here, quarterback coaches, get Wentz together because I don't understand it. You know, Wentz, my guy, like the way he looked now compared to
He looks like he's lost. Yeah, yeah. What's amazing to me, and I can't figure this out, and I'm so weird, Jay. It looks like he doesn't see the field at all. Well, that used to be one of his strengths. Like, listen, he was erratic deep ball thrower. We know that. Like, he lacked some touch down the field. But, I mean, at least he saw the field. It looks like he doesn't even see the field now.
Yeah, because they were showing plays last night where he had other guys wide open on the straight route or even a hookout, and he's just looking completely the other way, and I'm just like, what the, you know, like.
Exactly. I'm with you, bro.
But that goes to what I was saying. I don't think him and Doug is clicking, man. Like, it's
yeah, I don't think that. I agree with you. I don't think that Doug knows how to fix him. I think that's a huge deal. Jay, my brother, be safe, man.
All right, you too, man.
All right, man. Take it easy. I just think he doesn't know how to fix them, right? There's some answers there. You're stuck. You got it's a big contract. That's 2 years. You saw the story, the Jeremy Fowler story.
Yeah. There's some other stuff from Fowler that was pretty interesting that came out today with some of the executives and what they were saying. And there's one, I'm going to read you this one quote that I think it was another executive that told him. Yeah, it was an NFC executive. Using a second-round pick on a former national champion in Hurts was a bold move by Philadelphia, and a source with knowledge of the Wentz-Eagles dynamics said Wentz was not exactly thrilled with the pick. Quote, all that ground he gained over Nick, everything he fought past to get to this point, you pull it right back. Here is your franchise quarterback, the guy you paid a lot of money to keep long-term, and he's having to prove himself all over again.
Yes. That's exactly what we said.
I mean, here's one from an AFC executive.
It was idiotic to take Jalen Hurts.
An AFC executive said this, I think Wentz would have more success than Goff in that Rams system because of all the bootlegs they run. They have two good receivers, two good tight ends, a structured running game, and a ton of play action that gives you easy.
Oh, that's great.
I believe we've said that as well. Yeah, you know, there's been a lot.
Peterson has it rolled them out. Every week's the same thing. What are you thinking?
Oh, I could do a better job doing that.
How many times you say, roll the guy out, and he doesn't roll the guy out? It's amazing to me. That's why I used to bristle at you when we talked about McVay versus Peterson.
Doug's son. Multiple execs believe that Wentz, if available, would garner more interest on the market than any other available quarterback except for Dak Prescott at this point. So, yeah, people would jump all over that if he's available.
Yeah, because they look at him and they go, well, they're so bad at coaching and putting him around. Like, think about what that one, the NFC East guy said, or the NFC guy said.
Yeah.
Wentz, you know that he had to deal with the Foles situation, right? Like, that was a big deal. He had to go to his faith, right? I mean, the dude had to go to God. Now, you know the guy's a religious guy, but he had to use the faith to get through it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you not only do a disservice to him by the weapons around him, but now you put a quarterback in his way. And poor Jalen Hurts, right? Like, think about Jalen Hurts. He's a great kid. First of all, he's a super dude, Jalen Hurts. Here's a kid who loses his job to Tua. Tua gets hurt. Hurts comes in and wins. And he don't say boo, right? I love that. Like, he's such a great kid. He then leaves, which he should have, goes to Oklahoma, has a terrific season. He's a great team guy. I know people don't like Tebow because they think he's over, whatever it is. But Tebow was a great team guy, right? And he reminds me a lot of Tebow, at least from that intangible piece that he was a great college player. We'll see. He's got a better shot at the NFL than Tebow did, but I still think there's some limitations. I think the Eagles overdrafted him. But all that said, he's a tremendous kid. And you're going to put him in the worst spot. You're putting Wentz in the worst spot. And it's a historically awful move. And if Peterson had any balls, because he's big balls Doug, instead of go for it on 4th and 4, he should have said in that press conference, yeah, I didn't want to take Hurts. I thought it was a bad idea. That was all Howie. Now, obviously, he's not going to do that.
No.
But you get my point. Instead, he was like, yeah, yeah, it's a great pick. Why would you ask that? Because it's nonsensical, Doug. That's why the question was asked. Still one more segment. I see all you guys. You guys are coming up. Get it off your chest. Cuz Radio Tune is December the 1st. 1 month left in 2020. Flush it like flush the season. Let's talk about Parks, though. Parks, still some fun left in the month of December when it comes to football. And soon we'll have hoops and college basketball is upon us. You can check all that out at the Parks at Parks Casino, the sportsbook. And if you can't get there, don't fret. Get to the sportsbook app. All you got to do is download it. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the app. You use code Fanatic. You get a risk-free bet to $500. Here you go. Tomorrow, don't forget they have the tree lighting ceremony at night. So NBC said, I want a 3:40 start. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. All right, I'm in. Pittsburgh, 10-point favorite over Baltimore. Interesting. And the line is out for Green Bay, Philadelphia. Green Bay, 9-point favorite over the Birds. Don't forget, that's a 4:25 National Football Sunday start. And you'll watch Rodgers v. Wentz. But you can bet on it right there at the Park Sportsbook app. Check it out. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
5 The Fanatic.
What you see from Philadelphia when they run these screens, these wide receiver screens on the perimeter, if they don't get the ball in the hands of Rager, who really is the most explosive guy out here, they don't have that guy that can just take a short pass like this and just go to the house by making one guy miss. They need more speed on the perimeter, more playmakers.
Rockin' around. It's convenient, yeah, put Jalen Hurts in there. Jalen Hurts, who's to say he's going to be a solution here?
No, absolutely okay? not.
So you put him behind an offensive line like this and throw him to receivers that can't get open. It's going to be the same thing. Right. Everybody just wants to make a change for change's sake. This organization, this franchise, has a quarterback that's proven he can do it, and you're willing to just throw it away to see what the other guy can do? I wouldn't do it.
The Christmas tree, have a happy holiday.
Everyone, that was a harsh question there, Judas.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ant. I'll just apologize. I didn't do a poll today because the question I could only think of is like, are you dead inside? Because you know.
Are you dead inside?
That's
all right. Who's the poll day brought to you by?
It's brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com today. I'm pretty sure the majority would say yes.
Yeah.
After that.
I hear you.
Performance.
I hear you. I hear you, my brother.
Happy holidays.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's get back to the phone line. Talk to our friends. Let's go to Brian. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Bri.
Hey, Ann. How you doing? I hope you had a nice, safe, happy holiday.
Thank you. You too, buddy. So,
thank you very much. So my question,
I guess maybe you can educate me. Is there some sort of etiquette between a reporter and a coach when you're asking questions at a press conference? And the reason I'm asking is he thought the question was, quote unquote, harsh about play calling. And I thought it was a good question. Obviously, us fans and the media notice a, quote unquote, resistance to his relinquishing the play calling. Is there some unspoken etiquette that you're supposed to be nice to a coach? Or and I know I'm fueled with anger because of last night. So
no, I mean every coach is different.
Respectful too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, every coach is different, and I will say this: it's gotten a lot more civil. It used to be like, especially when I was in New York, and there was a ton of newspapers and everybody was vying for their kind of space. It was, you know, you grilled people. Like, they were all defense attorneys and prosecutors. And, you know, they had coaches up on the stand. And they were like Colonel Jessup and all that nonsense. Yeah, it is a little different. But I didn't think the question was harsh. I think Peterson is, you know, he's not used to getting these questions now. It's the honeymoon's completely over. He goes back to now trying, and he's got no answer. So he's sitting there, and he gives you the puppy dog. You know, what do you want from me?
Yeah, it's just it's like enough already. Just talk to us for real, you know. And real quick, just one more question. I'll hang up. Do you look at throwing Hurts in for those two plays as nothing more than an embarrassment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you get out of it. You're not getting anything out of it. The only what I would do is you look at Wentz, and Wentz is the disaster right now, right? So I'd start him one more game against Green Bay. You're going to lose. And then I would look to start Hurts the last, you'll have four games left. So either you start him either all four, 3-4, or 2 of the 4. I don't want it just to be the last game of the season when nobody plays. I want him to start against real competition. And I want to see what I got to get. And then in the offseason, I turn my attention to Wentz and try to rebuild him. He needs to be broken down. Like, that's an offseason project, Wentz is.
Right.
Like a major project.
Okay. You know, all right. Well, thanks
buddy.
Thanks.
See you, Brent. I mean, that's how I look at it, Junis. I don't know if you agree, but to me, Wentz becomes an offseason project. And that project is, I got to go in there. I got to watch every play with him. We got to talk it out. I need a real quarterback's coach in there to break his balls, to make him angry. I got to reach down to his soul to fix him.
Hey, you got to go. All right, dude. I know people don't like hearing it, but you got to go. All right, dude. In 2017, clearly you had something, right? You were in the conversation for MVP. What was it in 2017 that you showed that you have nothing left from 2017 anymore? You're right. You need a guy that's going to come in here because Doug's not doing it. They don't even talk, man. Somebody tweeted in, and it was a great point, and I apologize. I forget who it was. It was a long time. It was earlier in the show. You see more of Doug talking with Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Then you see Doug talking with Carson.
Yes.
And Jalen Hurts was out there for two snaps yesterday. And you saw Jalen Hurts. He stands by his side.
Yeah.
And what? Is he like trying to coach him as the game goes along? Like, hey, see this. This is what you could do. This is what you shouldn't do. Like, is he trying to coach up the kid mid-game? It's been like that all season long. And he runs one play and Jalen runs right to the coach to see what he saw. I never see Doug and Carson talk. Never.
No, I saw that last night, too. It stood out. Stood out like neon. And here's the other problem. Like, you know what's funny? We always talk about, like, quarterbacks, coaches. Forget about his play calling. Because he'll tell you a hundred times. And now he's got reporters parroting this about his long career.
Mm-hmm.
His illustrious 14 years as a clipboard holder. Right? The one time he had any kind of prolonged period as a player, he was god-awful as a quarterback. All right? But that doesn't mean, because a lot of backup guys
become really good coaches. So,
It's happened.
You know, Frank Reich. Right. Even though when he went in, he would win a game here and there. But why do you need anybody else? Why can't Peterson fix him? And since he can't, it's apparent that he can't fix Wentz. And if he can't fix Wentz, and he's supposed to be this guru of the position.
Right.
Right.
He tells you.
He was a quarterback's coach. He was a, coordinate, all this stuff, right? Well, if he's that smart of a quarterback guru whisperer, the issue is Wentz. It's all about the play calling and all about personnel. Yeah. But the primary issue is Wentz. How come he's not with him constantly? Like, I'd never leave his side.
Nope.
I'd be in his ear constantly.
Yeah, I don't need to hear. Remember last week? This drove me insane.
He's supposed to be a teacher and this and that. He's got, because I think it's all half a fraud.
Well, remember last week, based off of the pick six, the Monday press conference, the next day, somebody asked him about the pick six. He said, yeah, I haven't talked to him yet. Like, dude, it's been 20 hours. What do you mean you haven't talked to him yet?
And that's the stuff that drives me insane, because he's so quick to talk about his career.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dude, if you know anything about quarterbacks, why are you waiting 20 hours to talk to your quarterback after that hideous decision? Makes no sense.
Nope.
Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ronnie.
Yeah. Have you checked out this kid that plays for Buffalo, Jared Peterson?
Yeah, running back. Yeah, he had a monster. He had a monster the other day. Saturday, he went off.
8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
409 yards a week before, 300 yards.
That's the Mac.
I could see this. I would love to see if kid is a future Eagle, like take become like a Darryl Sproles.
Yeah, it
is. He's electric, this kid.
Yeah, yeah, but again,
I think
remember,
he has one more year of eligibility, but he may come out this year.
Yeah, remember, it's the Mac.
Yeah, I know, but have you actually watched him?
I have.
He is.
I'm a college football junkie.
Quick and yeah. Really,
again, it's against really subpar competition.
Yeah, I realize it's subpar competition, but I would like to see him. It's regardless. All right, I just think he's an incredible player.
All right. I appreciate it, buddy. Duly noted, as they say. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Rich.
Hey, what up, cuz? I can't even think about draft picks right now. The problem I have with Doug, he talks about rhythm and this and that. He had, before Alshon, there was a rhythm with Wentz and Fulgham. Big one, Mailata had a rhythm before he pulled him to put Peters back in, who's a swinging gate right now.
Yes.
And, I mean, do the PR people need to put a dictionary in front of Doug with those words highlighted, rhythm, confidence, things like that. It's just, it's, I'm a truck driver, and it's just, I'm banging my head on the steering wheel listening to these press conferences. Why is Philadelphia so resistant to fire coaches and GMs midseason? I get where.
I wouldn't fire him in the midseason. I wouldn't fire him now either.
Well, like we said earlier, like they got to act swiftly at the end. So why not get a head start on it? You see, this is a ship taking on water at all ends.
Right. Well, again, this is not Philadelphia. This is Jeffrey Lurie, right? Like, this is his call. I mean, you know, I would be putting the balls in motion, right, to do what I got to do.
Get a head start on a switch or something. I mean, I just don't understand. His loyalty is just making him, blind to,
I wouldn't go this far. Again, he's also, he's part of the problem because he's got a say in personnel and a very big say. So he's got to back off himself as an owner. But beyond that, you know, they did, you know, have, they went to the playoffs the last 3 weeks, the last 3 years, no matter if the division was bad or not. You know, you got to give him a chance to make the decision.
Yeah, I don't want to turn him into Jerry Jones, but, I mean, he stays out of it 95% of the time. And this is a time where, he needs to step in and, you know, put boots to asses, so to speak, and just get a grip with his club. I mean, it's his team.
Well, I mean, I know. I think he's just watching, and yeah. I think the fact that he didn't go to Cleveland, Rich, was a big deal. I really do. I mean, that was reported by Jeff McClain.
And guys, they do a little more digging on it and get some, you know, get some more dirt on like all that stuff. Like, because if that's legit, that's the first time in what 30 years he's had the team that he's shown some, you know, anger towards his club.
Well, I mean, he was mad at the Chip Kelly thing. I mean, I think you got to give him a chance. And I think he's good. I think he's a thorough guy. I think he's a bright man. I think he's a thorough guy. And remember, Joe Banner was his best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you can fire Joe, you can fire anybody. So,
yeah, no
doubt. You know, I mean, I do think it's real. I think he'll take into account. I think he's a fair man. I also think he has to come to grips with his own ego and step aside from the personnel piece of it. Richie, thanks. You hang in there. Be careful. Don't bang your head in the wall.
One more thing, cuz. One more thing. A little good note.
Yeah.
3 weeks. 3 weeks to the Sixers, buddy.
That's right.
The Sixers.
That's
Play
it.
Play the song, Tunis.
Play the song, Tunis. My man, Rich. Give me a little six and pick me up.
We have a preseason game on TNT in 2 weeks.
Wow.
December 15th.
That's awesome.
That's the only thing that's keeping me going right now is a preseason Sixers game.
We got hoop, baby.
By the way,
yeah.
So now there's all kinds of stuff on the old social media, Twitter.com app. Torrey Smith posted a photo of Deuce Staley in response to Doug Peterson saying he would give up play calling if he was in a rut. And then it was liked by Malcolm Jenkins, Torrey Smith's tweet. So because he was just here last year, now people are saying, oh, Malcolm just played here.
Dude, you don't think that everybody and everything, listen, it's a problem. And it's even more fodder to clean house. I mean, let's be real here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that he could always hold on to was the locker room.
Yeah.
And if they're saying, dude, give up the play calling, well, guess what? You got nothing.
Do we have an interim head coach by the end of the season?
I don't think so. I don't think you'd do Doug like that. I wouldn't.
But it's a respect thing.
I think I would. I would show him the respect. I would talk to him beforehand. I'd say, listen, it's your choice.
Right.
But, you know, we're going to make that decision at the end of the year. And, you know, out of respect for you and what you've done, what you've accomplished, you know, it's your choice. And again, you come to that conclusion in a couple weeks.
Right.
And at the end of the year, you make that call. EJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. EJ.
Cry, Eagles, cry on the road to misery. Cry, Eagles, cry. Interceptions, 1, 2, 3. Throw them low, throw them high, and watch our dreams just die. Cry, Eagles, cry, on the road to misery. F-E-E-E-B-L-E-B-O. Feeble, cuzzo.
Feeble.
Feeble, cuzzo.
Oh, that's sad, EJ.
The Feebles, baby. Let me tell you something.
The Feebles.
Seattle came in here with a historically rated, disgusting pass defense. They had the worst pass defense in the NFL, way worse than Dallas, and they on historic numbers for giving up average yards and pass yards a game. And what did we do? The Denver Broncos, who didn't have a real quarterback, had more yards than we did in the first half. It's feeble, cuzzo. We got to blow it up, and all three of them are equally to blame. We got to blow it up. When you saw DK Metcalf running down the field last night like the Megatron that Schwartz said he couldn't be, when you saw him housing an all-pro defensive back, and listen, for everybody who want to blow up Darius Slay was right there step for step. But it's nothing you can do when somebody is 6'4", 335 pounds and can jump out the building. Did you see Rodney McLeod smack the crap out of him like Andre Waters and McLeod ended up on the ground? Did you see that, cuz?
I saw it.
Cuzzo, Howie Roseman is the ace chief offender. Now, God bless Derek Barnett because he played like a first-round pick for the first time in 4 years last night. Maybe if he'd have been playing like that from the beginning, along with the other draft picks that Howie blew. Doug doesn't know how to use people to the best of their abilities. Let's keep it funky. Nick Foles was his guy. He can't stand Wentz. That's why he constantly throws him under the bus and doesn't defend him. He can't stand Wentz. And he coached that game last night like a crooked WWF referee. Like he wanted the team to lose. Come on, bro. Your defense was playing their butts off. It's 20-9. You kicked the field goal and let your defense hold them like they was doing all game. Come on, man. When you ever seen a team get two great defensive stops like that in the first quarter
for incredible
offense? And our offense wasted. Football game you see, Cuzzo, when the defense makes a big play like that, 9 times out of 10, the offense is energized and goes right down the field and score. We went 5 straight times 3 and out, bro. 3 and out, bro.
And the word is?
Feeble.
Feeble. I agree. You're right on, EJ. Right on, man. I agree. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Anthony, my brother from another mother.
What's happening, my man? What's going on?
Not too much, bro. I got the day off. I'm just watching Storage Wars. That's all.
Come on, man. Dwayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's going on, man?
This last call was wild.
Come on, dude. Like, what are we talking about here? My God.
I'm sorry.
I was like, huh?
Man, that's wild. So I just got a question. You know, if somebody was to come in, let's say they get rid of Howie and Doug, I mean, who would really want this roster? Because
that's a great point.
You know, I'm just saying, we really don't have any receivers. We have maybe some possibilities in Fulgham. I agree with what you said earlier. Rager, to me, is a bust. I mean, maybe they're not using him right. That's the only thing I give him, but he's not getting separation. Miles Sanders, what happens to the 3-down? All of a sudden, you can't catch. And then let's be honest, you're fumbling. Yeah, you're the best thing we have. That's why everybody's saying give him the ball.
Right.
Because you're our best weapon. But now you're not catching, okay? And now Doug, I think they're scared to give him the ball because now we're going back to the fumbling issue.
Yeah.
So that's wide receiver running back. We already know what's going on there.
No, you bring up a great point, which is would you take the job? I gave you my 3 candidates, but let's just say they decide to blow everybody out and they go to Eric Bieniemy, right? They go, all right, EB, you got a shot. This is your, you want the job? You're going to be the guy. And EB goes, so I got Philadelphia or the Jets. Now, the Jets, I'm going to get Lawrence. And right. I got cap, right? I got plenty of cap room. I got picks. I got capital. Which job are you taking?
I'm going with the Jets.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Jets.
No, I think it's a very real deal. I'm not going to lie to you, but if my man, you know, if I knew someone that was in the running for the job, you know, I might tell him, I don't know if you really want to do that. It's a big overhaul. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, resources that you have.
Right, right. And then, to me, this year has got to be the year because you got so many young candidates like coming from college, and then you know it's going to be a couple of good guys opening up this year for the NFL. So it, you know, and then also a GM. You know,
well, but here's the thing, though. I would hire, and this would make the job a little bit more attractive. All right, I would tell the coach that you got total control. Like, now, if you're Eric Bieniemy, you can go to New York and say they keep Joe Douglas, and they go, well, Joe Douglas is the GM. You know, you got to work with Joe. Or do you say, well, I'll take Philadelphia and I'm going to come in and I'm the poobah. Like, I'm going to hire my own personnel guy, and he'll do all my personnel work, but ultimately I'm going to make the decisions.
Right. Yeah.
There's no GM. Like, there's the only GM is the guy that you put in place. Like, the coach is the guy in charge.
Right. But that didn't work out so well with the Texans, but.
Yeah, but guess what? It's worked out a lot of other places. And and by the way, my man in Carolina's got that.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. And he's doing. He drafted all defensive players. I didn't think Carolina was going to be that good this year.
He's a hell of a coach. He's a great coach.
And this is first year, and look what he's doing.
And it's COVID, and he's coming from college. All right?
And he's from college.
And it's COVID. And he didn't get a chance to see his players. Trust me, that dude is sharp.
You were supposed to get him here, though, Ant. What you doing?
I tried to, but, you know, your boy was in place. My brother, I love you, Dwayne. Thanks, buddy. Take it easy. Everybody, listen, we'll be back all week. We got you. You know, thanks for hanging, as always. Be safe. Watch yourself. And we'll figure it out tomorrow. Stay tuned. Mikey Miss and Tyrone Neck coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.